father was saying to turn on your radio.
Something fresh and exciting. Somebody with a sock personality that'll sweep people right off their feet.
Where is he? What is he up to? What other terrors can he unleash at will?
Starring your genial host, renowned writer, art collector, and teller of strange tales.
What fiendish power did he possess? Where did he come from? Who is this man?
Believe me.
It's the Shannon Burke Show on the Florida Man Radio Network for a Tuesday. Talk radio the way our founders intended. Remember, America, the Japanese killed 2,400 Americans at Pearl Harbor. In return, we killed over a million Japanese, hell, 100,000 of them one afternoon. Yet no one ever accused the United States of genocide. Get it? Day 1194. Putting the Eric in America. Say hello to EZ.
What's up?
Good afternoon. Putting the heat in, Heather.
Hey, guys.
Double H is here. We'll hear from her. Heather has answers in the next hour. Dark history, the top of the third hour, and our buddy Jonathan Morris after that. Your remarks in between. Chaos in New York City and the Columbia campus continued into the night. NYPD in riot gear arrest 150. The second encampment that they had to destroy in a week. Today there's talk of the National Guard. Josh Hawley, Tim Cotton urged President Biden to mobilize the National Guard to protect Jewish college students. What a nightmare scenario for this administration. And I think more than, this is going to be, we'll have a huge statement. We'll make a huge statement about this administration and how they wish to handle rampant, increasingly violent anti-Semitism against our own people. Faculty members linked arms, stood side by side to form a human barrier between cops and the student protesters. Once the cops moved in, they tore down the tents. They called it Gaza Solidarity Encampment. They always got to give it a name. Like Occupy, remember Occupy with this, Occupy that, blah, blah, blah. NYU's director of campus safety informed the students they would face consequences if they didn't leave. With the breach of the barricades early this afternoon, she said the requirement was violated. And we witnessed disorderly, disruptive, antagonizing behavior that has interfered with the safety and security of our community. If you leave now, no one will face consequences for today's actions. No discipline, no police. But the number of people that supported the protest only get bigger. Anti-Israel activists from outside the college community showed up. This development dramatically changed the situation, says spokesperson John Beckham from NYU. Noted protesters with no affiliation with the university breached the barriers. We witnessed disorderly, disruptive, antagonizing behavior. This demonstration can quickly get out of control and people can get hurt. We also learned there were intimidating chants, several anti-Semitic incidents reported. Given the foregoing safety issues raised by the breach, we asked for assistance from the NYPD. Cops from Strategic Response Group stormed the protest about 8:30 p.m. last night in riot gear, making arrests, taking all the tents down. Many of the protesters appeared to be praying at the time. Cops, who are they praying? These are godless heathens. Who are they praying to?
Just to the, God of protesting.
The God of chaos?
Yeah.
Chaos gods? And this is not just happening in New York City. It is happening at elite schools all over the United States, at University of Pennsylvania. It's quickly overrun by extremists. They celebrated at UPenn Leila Khalid, the first woman to hijack a plane. Penn professor Huda Farakadine tweeted in Arabic, "While we were asleep, Palestine reinvented a new way of life." That's on the morning of October 8th. Last semester, the UPenn students, remember, they went to the headquarters of Philadelphia. They made it basically a Hamas help center, calling for genocide of Jews. Student protesters opened the doors to non-student extremists in the building. They occupied it for 30 days. I mean, it's pro-Hamas student groups invaded University of Michigan. They're handing out booklets called "Freedom for Palestine Means Death to America." Yale student stabbed in the eye by a Palestinian flagpole has been hospitalized. Universities across the country screaming intifada. We won't stop at a ceasefire. One posted, "Live, love, Hamas."
So nice.
Robert Kraft said, "Screw it." And so have other billionaires. Back when this all started in October and November, when MIT, UPenn, and I believe a Columbia president, no, Harvard president,
yeah,
all
Harvard.
Harvard was losing billionaires by the minute. I mean, they lost a couple of billionaires from the board of directors. They quit the board. They quit their money. Columbia is now facing the same wave of fury over the anti-Semitism. Robert Kraft, owner of the Patriots, Columbia graduate, has pulled his money, as has Leon Cooperman, a billionaire businessman and a graduate as well. In a statement, Robert Kraft writes, "It was through the full academic scholarship Columbia gave me that I was able to attend college and get my start in life. And for that, I've been tremendously grateful. However, the school I love so much, the one that welcomed me and provided me with so much opportunity, is no longer an institution I recognize. I'm deeply saddened at the virulent hate that continues to grow on campus and throughout our country. I'm no longer confident that Columbia can predict its can protect its students and staff, and I'm not comfortable supporting the university until corrective action is taken. I hope that Columbia and its leadership will stand up to this hate by ending these protests immediately and will work to earn back the respect and trust of many of us who have lost the faith in the institution. It's my hope that in this difficult time, the Kraft Center at Columbia will serve as a source of security and safety for all Jewish students and faculty on campus that want to gather peacefully and practice their religion, to be together and to be welcomed." Wow, he's got a whole Kraft Center. Now, you know what that means. That place will be spray painted with Nazi symbols overnight.
Oh, of course.
Other billionaires are also considering it's not an ultimatum. They're just like, why would we write checks any longer for this?
Yeah, I think you're going to see a big drop in attendance there too.
Kraft, they say, has donated about $100 million to Columbia. Oh, yeah, you've got students now. Their parents are, because they've canceled all in-person classes for the foreseeable future, maybe to the end of the year, and some parents are like, "Well, we'll get our money back."
Yeah, I'm not paying $70,000 a semester to go basically to the University of Phoenix.
Yeah, you're right. Oh, it is nasty. Meanwhile, have you heard any news out of Gaza?
I heard that they were like prepping maybe to go back after Rafah here in the next day or so, but yeah, it's been pretty quiet.
What's that? You hear that buzz?
Yeah, it's a little bit. Your
is that me?
Your PC? Yeah.
No, can't be. I'll mess with it now. Ilhan Omar's daughter did a TED talk in which she bragged about how she was the wokest girl around, and she was proud to be the PC police. She's also stating on MSNBC that she was attacked with chemical weapons.
Do other student groups have this kind of target on their back, or do you feel that you are being targeted because of the fact that it is in solidarity with Palestinians and against what Israel is doing to Palestinians?
Oh, this is 100% targeted. Every single protest that we have, there's a group of counter-protesters that bring all of their items, their flags and things like that, and they're not seen as having unsanctioned protests or really receive the kind of disciplinary warnings that many of our fellow organizers receive just for being seen at these protests. And so there is definitely some hypocrisy here, especially you can kind of see it with the students that sprayed us with the chemical weapons and the fact that there is no public information as to what happened to them, but rather the university is actively discussing what is happening to the students here and making it a whole public spectacle rather than when we haven't done anything to physically harm students, whereas those that sprayed those chemical weapons physically harmed students.
Fart spray, lady.
It's fart spray.
It doesn't hurt.
Got suspended.
Yeah, and fart spray doesn't hurt. It just smells bad.
It's chemical weapons, though. It's biological warfare against us.
The Jews are trying to kill us. Columbia protesters are eating well. A buffet of goods that people are just bringing. They're like $12 croissants, organic grain granola, gluten-free homemade goods. At the Gaza Solidarity, I guess they were eating well before it was torn down, the Solidarity encampment, a bakery, takeouts, condiment stands. Some protesters had a bag of fresh bakery goods from a chic restaurant, Le Pain Quotidien, where avocado toast cost $14 and orange juice is $5. They pledged to remain until the demands were met. Apparently that didn't work.
I just love that you would think a group that's doing a solidarity protest and they'd be surviving off of the same meals that the Palestinians eat, you know, those rescue supplies and things like that. No, they're eating a $12 croissant.
And gluten-free selections.
Yeah.
And organic grain granola. Vegan offerings. Well, good for them. I don't know how these students survive. I mean, these colleges survive the, they all have a fat endowments, but I don't know how long you can go when roughly 8-10 billionaires have left Ivy League's donor list since October, November.
Yeah, they're going to have to rename a lot of new buildings and hope people donate.
You think, if you were protesting this horrible genocide where there's famine going on, you wouldn't gorge yourself on gluten-free options.
But they're still, they have dietary restrictions. That gluten-free granola bar is the only one that they can stomach.
Right. And, they're on a high-protein diet as well. That is really, Ilhan Omar's daughter had in a TED talk said, I would say she's known for being she's happy to be known to be the angry black girl always speaking up against something offensive or problematic. That's it right there. That's the person constantly searching for anything just a tad bit offensive or maybe problematic in their point of view. She said, I would say something all the time and kids in my class used to get super annoyed at me pointing out everything, even if it was slightly sexist, but I was so proud of it.
Yeah, you're the kid that all the rest of the kids hated.
Yes. She wanted to use the hyper-woke part of her personality to do some real good. She said, so I joined everything. Climate stuff, gun violence prevention. I felt like I had to because it also became my brand. I would call out injustices. When you join so many white-dominated groups, you really feel alienated. This is the person that everyone hates. Nobody likes the injustice seeker.
That's why they all group together when they go to college, and they're even worse. You get a gaggle of them.
Every New York House GOP lawmaker has demanded that the President Shafik resign immediately for not cracking down on this stuff. Ilhan is beaming with pride, obviously. She was able to get to she looked okay in the on-camera interview at MSNBC.
I know for someone starving and homeless, she...
Well, only two shirts and two pairs of pants or something, whatever she had.
She must hit the craft services table hard while she was there.
Crabbing her face with gluten-free options. Yeah. Man, Australia is... The government is so... They're so proud of their censorship there. I can't find this. It was an Australian police chief, a female, who made the announcement that there's a lot of misinformation out there, a lot on the social medias. We just want you to know that you don't need to listen to any of them. Follow the police department's social media because that's where the truth is. You needn't rely on any other source because they'll always tell you the truth. Australia's, I don't even know what they call the guy, e-security guy. A court in Australia has ordered Elon Musk to block video footage of a stabbing at a Sydney church. You've seen it.
Yeah.
I've seen it. It was a terrorist attack. It led to a riot outside the Christ the Good Shepherd Church. An Australian court ordered him to block every user from seeing that footage, not just for Australia. So Elon, he did block it for Australians, but he said, if this guy can demand it, take it down all over the world, they can control the entire internet. It's absurd that one court in one country, not particularly known for its freedom of speech, can order the footage taken down of the entire internet. Musk said that if any country is allowed to censor content for all countries, which is what the Australian e-safety commissar is demanding, then what is to stop any country from controlling the entire internet? The e-safety person is named Albanese. They fined X so far $610,000. Albanese hit back at Musk saying the country would do what's necessary to take on this arrogant billionaire who thinks he's above the law, but also above common decency. The idea that someone would go to court for the right to put up some violent content on a platform shows how out of touch Musk is. I mean, there's footage of 9/11 and the planes going into the buildings all. Should that be taken down too?
No, because it is documentary in history.
There's footage of Russians and Ukrainians being blown up on the internet. Should that be taken down?
Again, no. It is documentation of what's going on in the world. Because of that, you have video evidence of that. If they tried to change the story of that wasn't a priest that was being stabbed by a guy, they could say something else. Oh, we have no idea what it is. Well, here's the video.
It's preserving history more than anything else. A spokesman for the commissar. So the takedown notice was for the attack footage only, not for commentary or public debate. Well, the attack footage is the only thing that shows the actual truth. All of the commentary and public debate, it would be without fact if you didn't have the video, right? Facebook and Instagram over at Meta, they said, we've already used our internet tools to detect and block copies of that church attack and any unrelated deadly stabbing at a shopping mall in the city 2 days earlier, any of it. Why is that? I mean, in defense of the argument to take it down, I mean, I don't know that it inspires copycats. The story is the story, and the stories are out there, albeit largely without video. But I'm worried about us getting away from evidence that proves a fact, right? Guy was stabbed by a priest, stabbed by a terrorist, a teenage terrorist. Oh, no, that wasn't it at all.
No, here's a video of a priest being stabbed by a teenage terrorist.
Right. And don't get me wrong, make no mistake, there are elected leaders in the United States who are drooling at the opportunity to be able to agree, you know, with that. But that is the First Amendment in the United States of America. That's the embodiment of it, to use and share, explain. I don't care how violent it is.
Ah, but you remember, Daddy Government's always knows best for you.
Yeah, I know.
You can't handle seeing something like that.
Although we've seen the Zapruder film 1,000 times. You know, I mean, my God, the guy's head explodes right there. When we return, we've reported on this, that IQs fell for the first time ever recently. We're getting dumber. And some experts believe they have found one of the biggest contributing factors, handwriting, and the lack thereof. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show. Well, there's a fight on to prevent handwriting from going extinct. As more and more classrooms swap pen and paper for notebooks, laptops. And some researchers believe that the fall of handwriting, and particularly cursive, is contributing greatly to the very first fall in IQ in America in decades, or the first one ever. It's considered a fine motor skill that stimulates and challenges your brain. Some teachers complain that students can barely hold a pencil properly, but they can swipe and double-click stuff like it was going out of style. I mean, if you have a learning disability, one of the methods of overcoming learning disabilities is practicing writing by hand.
Well, that's why teachers actually had those as assignments, to do write out a sentence over and over again, or write out go into your book and write out a paragraph from it, because of the fact your brain does, because you're doing double duty. You're not only are you reading it, you're comprehending it, plus you're forming it into letters to reread it.
So people are urging schools to reintroduce cursive into the curriculum. They just don't even, it's not even considered. I write all the time. I probably write, 1,500 words a day or so in show prep, and I write in print or block script, whatever you want to call it. I don't write in cursive. It's tedious. But they're trying to introduce bills in California and New York requiring students age 6 to 12 to learn cursive writing. Those hesitant to revert back to writing classes are Colorado, New Mexico, Nevada. Do they even... Hey, Heather, do your kids learn how to write in cursive?
No.
No? Do they know how to write in cursive?
My middle one does. My oldest one does not. And my middle one took it upon herself to learn when she was very little. The older one doesn't even care.
They don't care about writing?
No.
That's so weird to me.
I mean, what use do they have for it, really? If your assignments do not to be turned in cursive anymore, when are you really going to use it?
Okay, grocery list, handwritten letter to your grandma. Thank you for the $5 she sent you on your birthday.
Yeah, they send an email and they type it up on their phone in their notes.
I mean, there's no doubt that technology is to contribute for the decline in IQ, mainly because you don't have to retain much knowledge anymore, because you can quickly look it up, you need it on demand.
How much worse people are spellers. People are awful now at spelling because they don't have to anymore.
Yeah, you're right.
If they can get it in the general gist of the area,
their device will correct it.
Yeah, off they go.
Researchers at University of Oregon and Northwestern reported IQ scores had dropped because tech shortens attention spans, decreases the need to think deeply. You don't need to retain any knowledge, really. But also the lack of handwriting, the lack of the need for handwriting. This lady says, I have a 20-year-old granddaughter that struggles to write a check. And, well, you know, I can't remember the last time I wrote a check, quite frankly. You know, handwriting is linked to increased cognitive brain function, motor skills, memory. But, you know, and your brain is pretty much use it or lose it in terms of that type of motor skill. A neuropsychology professor at NTNU said that when writing by hand, most of your brain is active. I don't know why I keep these. You know, I go through a notepad, a legal pad, a week or so, and I throw some away. But if they're super old, but I don't know why I keep them. They're in a stack. I have a stack up at my house. I got a stack right here in my office.
I mean, they're good to go back and look if you need to remember something.
True. They're really. I mean, you get documents now that you e-sign. Legal documents you can e-sign.
Yeah, I just bought a car recently. And
you e-signed the whole thing, didn't you?
I didn't even have to, like, you know, it used to be tedious to buy a car.
Oh, my God, yes, your hand gets cramped.
Your initial this, initial that, sign here. No, for the most part, it was sign once, and then you just clicked a button that kept saying repeat signature, and just click the button, your signature autofills, and it goes, all right, now do your initials. The repeat initials, it autofills all the way through there. I think. You know, normally those paper would take you like an hour, and it took all of like 10 minutes.
I think it's something, I mean, there'll always be people that maintain the, I don't even know that you could call it an art form. I mean, if you're a calligrapher, yeah, that's art form. Cursive is not an art form. Writing itself is, you know, it's the most basic of all. Outside of talking, you know, being able to write the language you're speaking, they used to say that cursive was time consuming and it won't be useful as typing skills. And, you know, students would need at as they moved on to junior and high school, they're going to need typing skills. So they just kind of said, screw it to any cursive at all. I remember the letters, you know, and you had the homework and the practicing the letters and draw a cursive lowercase s and a, you know.
Yeah, I mean, I can still do it. But I, after I think fifth grade, almost all my teachers had me type everything because my handwriting was so atrocious already to begin with, being a lefty.
Right.
And so, yeah, they made me type everything to begin with. But, yeah, after it's even worse with the kids now. Teachers don't want to have to try to read through whatever those kids try to write out. It's just easier for them to have typed up papers right. For them. And
it's faster to write in cursive, yes. But it's also easier to read print or block script.
Yeah, because some people's cursive kind of mashes into itself. And
right. Well, that's. I mean, it is basic. It's a historical ability that everyone should have. Last year, we talked about this. Three students at a Florida high school were arrested. They were arrested because it was discovered that they had created a hit list targeting multiple students. St. John's County Sheriff announced the arrest of, you don't need to know the names. There are students at Creekside High School. They were notified, deputies were notified of suspicious communications between the students concerning a hit list targeting multiple students. They discovered group text messages. They were arrested for written threats to kill, unlawful use of a two-way communication device.
I don't argue with. You have to take that seriously.
Absolutely. That's sad that we do, but yep. Today's day and age, they all must be taken seriously. Unless the kid is trans. Some leaked emails of a trans Boston student who named 40 classmates and teachers on a hit list at the Watertown public schools. And the leaked emails disclosed the fact that of how this kid was treated. They didn't expel him. They didn't call the deputies and have them arrested. Instead, they called for empathy. For the creator. And anti-bias training, and the urgent creation of an LGBTQIA plus affinity group. Affinity group. People that have affinity for trans people get, oh, I love those trans people. I got a real affinity for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to, well, it's just to hang out with them.
So, Parents Defending Education, a conservative group, obtained these emails through public records. They show that parents were scared to death, alarmed by the lax response by the school. They spotlight wider fears about the rising number of children that identify as trans and non-binary that face bullying and the small but worrying number of them that turn to classroom violence. There was that one in Pennsylvania where the trans student beat another student with what's that thing called?
Stanley
steel cup mug. Casey Ryan, a researcher that got the email, said it was irresponsible to an alarming degree to keep these students' gender identity hidden from the public. Parents deserve to know why their kids were targeted and potentially at risk of losing their lives. The district literally placed a higher priority on this trans student's comfort than the safety of 40 students that this trans student wanted to kill and teachers. The list writing student has not been identified. The exchanges between staff and parents do not state if the student identified as a male, female, whatever, blah, blah, blah. A spokesperson for the school said the school and staff acted properly. The school is not going to comment on anything related to the identity of the student, their name, grade, gender. Legally, we cannot. So they overheard, a teacher overheard some students talking about this list and who had been named on it. The student had it on her student-issued Chromebook in a file titled Hit List. They alerted the police, interviewed the student. They found that the kid did not have access to weapons, that they decided it was not a credible threat.
So as long as you don't have guns, you can make threats?
They don't say anything about that in the Florida story.
Yeah.
Yeah, as long as you don't have any guns, you can threaten. I mean, you're literally threatening. A hit list implies you threaten, you want to kill. You have a desire to do bodily harm, to kill people, right?
Yeah, but they didn't have anybody to hang out with. They needed an affinity group.
That is hysterical. If it was a 14-year-old white kid off to jail, I mean, oh, my God. We'd lock down a school and do a search and get the cops up in here and alert all the families that the danger has been averted. And this dangerous student will never grace the grounds of this public school ever again and never in this school district. In this case, they kept it quiet and wrapped their arms around this kid.
Yeah, because the parents had to actually get information on what was going on, because the parents heard about a story about a trans kid with a hit list that apparently was now being celebrated instead of, being checked out.
Wow. The school arranged a reentry process to return the student to class. The student superintendent, Dina Gladstone, wrote an email to the colleagues there. And they said the child was expressing their frustration on paper and didn't plan violence. She said the list maker is very eager to make amends to the students named in the document. And the school principal, in an email, focused on the need to tackle anti-trans and other biased behavior in class.
And we've also decided to give this child a day of their own. It's this special kid's day now. They got to pick the lunch menu for this week.
They want to help students across all spectrums feel safe at school. Didn't go over well with some parents. And the superintendent Gladstone said there's just student shaming. One parent of a child that was actually named on the list expressed alarm at the school's relaxed response. She said, "I'm very frustrated with the lack of information about your steps to ensure safety at the school environment and your plan for reintegrating a student that wrote the hit list." A 13-year-old trans student in Pennsylvania used the metal Stanley mug to violently beat a 12-year-old student until, quote, head in the head until blood spurted out. We all know Audrey Hale. Nashville trans baby killer that we can't see the manuscript? Because it's too, what is it?
Oh, there's just, it we was can't just handle it? Too heartbreaking. Yeah, you couldn't handle it.
So normal kid, hit list jail. Trans kid, couple of days off from school and your own affinity group. Urgent creation of an LGBTQIA plus affinity group, and the rest of the school gets anti-bias training. Sounds good.
They got cupcakes too.
Oh my God. Poor dude in New York City, father of three, at a Manhattan bus terminal yesterday morning, waiting on a bus, on his way to work as a carpenter. Stranger comes up, ambushes him, stabs him, slashes him 8 times.
Doesn't he know the crime is down right now, though?
He said, I should be dead. I got 46 dishes. I'm very thankful to be alive. He commutes from Jersey to Manhattan for the past 5 years, has a routine. He reads a book for a half hour after he gets off the bus as he waits for his coworker. I was just sitting there reading a book. Somebody came up to my blind side on the right side. I saw him turn, just saw his face. All of a sudden, the knife went into my neck. Identified by cops, an unhinged man, Michael McCloskey, 42, didn't say a single word to the guy. He didn't say anything. He said the detectives asked if I bumped into him or anything, or said anything to him. I said, no, nothing. I didn't see the guy at all. I was just minding my own business, reading a book. What'd you say to him? You must have angered him somehow. He said he finally broke away from him, broke the hold. There was blood everywhere. He ran into a Dunkin' Donuts, shocked all the customers there that handed him napkins and tried to help him stop the bleeding. He made it. The victim believes that God was there with him the whole time. Man, I mean, he got him. I mean, that's close to a jugular right there.
Yeah, he's very lucky to be alive.
New York is such a great place, you know? I mean, it's so nice.
And again, another story of a victim being questioned. What did you do to the guy? Did you do something bad to him?
Did you bump into him? What did you say to him?
Nothing. He stabbed me. Arrest the guy.
You must have said something to him. Yeah, it's his fault. More Google employees have been fired. Sundar Pichai, whatever his name is, the gozillionaire head of, he's the CEO. I don't know what he is, though. He said every single one of those who were fired were personally and definitively involved in disruptive activity outside our office buildings. He said Google is not a place to debate politics. The total number has gone up to 50 almost. 20 more have been fired. 9 of the early ones that protested the office were arrested. Earlier, if you're one of the few tempted to think we're going to overlook conduct that violates our policies, he said, think again. We have a culture of vibrant, open discussion. It enables us to create amazing products and turn great ideas into action. That is important to preserve. This is a business, not a place to act in a way that disrupts coworkers or makes them feel unsafe or attempt to use the company as a personal platform or to fight over disruptive issues or debate politics. They continue their investigation into that disruption. You know, they've got cameras that keep an eye on their cameras at Google and a security team.
You got to swipe your badge to get in there. They know everybody was in that room.
Our investigation into these events is now concluded. We have terminated the employment of additional employees that were found to have been directly involved. To reiterate, every single one of those was terminated was personally and definitively involved. We carefully confirmed and reconfirmed. That's an important... I mean, for a company that I think everybody would say would consider a left-leaning company, most tech is...
They shut that down, though.
Yeah, it's surprising to me.
I think even If they had been a group that had been outside the offices, like if they were protesting out on the street or did a walkout or something like that, probably wouldn't have caused an issue. You did it inside the Google building, and they're not going to handle that. They're also, you're not going to tell them to get rid of a $1.2 billion contract. They're just going to laugh at you.
Yeah. Okay, we can do that. We'll get rid of that, but all of you in this room are now fired because we can't afford to pay you because you want us to get rid of a $1.2 billion project.
And now we've got to get rid of the sleeping pods and that guy that comes in and serves gelato to the rest of us. So thanks, everybody.
No more free gelato for you. This probably deserves a larger discussion, but the sweeping changes that Biden wants to press into Title IX. I mean, dude, it tramples Title IX.
It just completely gets rid of it.
From the inside out. There's zero regard for biological reality with liberals, Democrats, higher education, the Biden administration.
It's a weird, the way they wrote it, these updates, is like a weird give and take where they were like, all right, yeah, we're going to probably let men into people that think they're men into women's sports. But if you accuse someone of rape, we're going to 100% believe you with it, like instantly. Yeah. That person's gone, fired. We don't care who they are.
No, no due process, nothing. So these changes introduced last Friday basically rewrite discrimination on the basis of sex to include the very concept of gender identity. Essentially, if you say you're a girl, but you have a penis, you're a girl. That really, it just attacks the definition of sex, due process rights, free speech. It's 1,577 pages long. And this senior policy analyst at Independent Women's Forum, Felcher Stepman, says it is packed with five alarm fires that affect millions of students. This touches every educational institution that receives federal money, not just universities, but every public school in America, and not insubstantial percentage of private schools, too. And it forces them all to be blind to the reality of sex difference in order to not separate boys and girls in areas we've come to expect. And it punts on the specific issue of transgender athletes. The plain reading of regulation basically applies to all sports. He calls it a political fig leaf. That means that males identifying as women will be protected under federal effing law to use locker rooms and other single-sex spaces, play their girl sports, take advantage of opportunities like scholarships earmarked for females. And women, sorry, suck it up. I know you fought long and hard. Those days are over. Men are better at being women than you are. That's basically what this says.
Yeah. Which Title IX was built to protect females in sports, and now it's like, nah.
That really is basically what this says. It's kind of a declaration that once and for all, women, you lose. We're better at everything. You can't even play your own sports right. We'll show you how it's done. Look at my penis. What a disgrace. There's tons of legal challenges up there now. And this issue, you can bet your ass, is going to play out in this presidential election. Okay. Culture stuff like this is absolutely going to be under attack. I mean, it's hard to even understand how they fought so hard for Title IX, really hard for Title IX. And now they're fighting just to destroy it. Just roll it back. Let me return. Heather has answers. And an AI that says that it can't predict your political persuasion by looking at your face. I think I can too.
Yeah, get ready to start getting spam mail just by your face.
What do you mean?
I mean, you think that they're not going to you walk into a grocery store or something like that, scan your face. They're like, oh, you definitely want Republican products, don't you?
American flags are on aisle 10. We'll do that next. Hang on. It's the Shannon Burr Show. You can pretty much draw a relatively informed conclusion about somebody's political persuasion by their appearance, I think. You know, giant beard and a man bun, you're probably a liberal dude, you know, I would imagine. But, you know, the people that dress that way. But if you don't, if you're just like a normal, everyday-looking person, you're not wearing anything outlandish, you're not bringing attention to yourself, it could be tough. Researchers have created an algorithm, an AI, they say it has the ability to accurately guess your political views on par with how well job interviews predict job success. 591 participants filled out a political orientation questionnaire before the AI captured what he described as a numerical fingerprint of their faces and compared them to a database of their responses to predict their views. He said, I don't think that people realize how much they expose by simply putting a picture out there anywhere. People's sexual orientation, political orientation, religious views should be protected. It used to be a lot different. In the past, you could enter anybody's Facebook account and see their political views and likes, the pages they follow. But years ago, Facebook closed that because it was clear that policymakers and journalists felt that it was not acceptable or too dangerous. But they say you can still go on Facebook and see everybody's picture, their face. You never met the guy, you don't know who they are, but, and they probably would never share their political orientation with you, yet Facebook shows you their picture. And essentially, to some extent, that's the equivalent of telling the AI what your political persuasion is. For the study, they got images of the participants were collected in a highly controlled manner. They wore black T-shirts. They covered their clothes with binder clips. They removed all jewelry. If necessary, they shaved their facial hair, used facial wipes to remove makeup so there's no residue there. Their hair was pulled back. And it would examine the images to determine facial descriptors, a numerical vector that's unique to the individual and consistent across the their different images. Descriptors extracted from a given image are compared to those stored in a database. If they're similar enough, the faces are considered a match. That's why they use a linear regression to map facial descriptors. Using that mapping to predict political orientation for a previously unseen face. They underscore the urgency for scholars to the public and policymakers to recognize and address the political risks of facial recognition technology to people's personal privacy, because anyone can just take a picture anywhere you are and do an analysis of your facial features and know, for example, a political orientation. And I mean, think about if, I haven't seen the movie yet, but we're in a civil war. And that one scene with the guys there, with the soldiers there with gunning, he goes, we're Americans. And he goes, what kind of Americans? Right?
Yeah.
I mean, he could just put the screen, a camera on your face. Oh, he's a liberal.
Well,
take him in.
How else do you think Trump is going to round up all the gay people and Democrats to put in camp? He's just going to run the algorithm, and it's going to pull up the faces.
He's going to take a picture. He's gay. Put him in the camp. I'm serious. I'm not gay. I'm straight as I could be. I have a Farrah Fawcett picture at home. I mean, really, it could be. I mean, tell me that there's not a Democrat out there that wouldn't like to possess this type of technology.
Oh, they would love it to be able to tell which people they do and don't want to vote.
Think about it. You go through all of Facebook or Instagram's database, and everyone that's a conservative, it looks like a conservative, you just cancel them. They don't have a voice anymore. I mean, that's taking it to the extreme. I wonder if you can, they say that conservative people tend to have larger, lower faces. What's that mean? They're jowly?
I think like bigger chins, like a good, strong American chin.
Jay Leno's a liberal.
Yeah, but his is exaggerated, yeah, though.
Yeah. Naturalistic facial images convey information about political orientation and other intimate traits, but it's unclear if the predictors were enabled by self-preservation, stable facial features, or both. I mean, I see this has no good use whatsoever.
Get used to it, because this is what we're heading towards. This is the world of facial recognition where they're going to use this for everything, which is funny because it's pretty much eugenics. And we,
get away, yeah.
And we consider that super racist. And this is doing that exact same thing.
I mean, throughout this entire story, I've read two stories on this topic this morning, that nowhere do they say what the intended use could possibly be. They just dance around it. I mean, I'd love to have this tool. I'd love to have this tool myself, and I'll go through every Republican in Congress. And go, eh, you're not a Republican. Says to get out. You're not a Republican either. You know, you could go to Mitch McConnell and get just flash liberal.
This doesn't even come up human.
Wait, this says reptilian. What the hell? I mean, you know, that would be you'd be able to identify a wolf in sheep's clothing in a heartbeat. Then you'd find out that everyone in Congress, on both sides of the aisle, don't register conservative or liberal. They're just kind of, you know, uniparty. We have a conservative in liberal's clothing, or a liberal in conservative clothing, rather. I could see that being of great use for the people. I mean, what could possibly be a good use of this particular software?
No, there's nothing. It'll be used to target with certain shopping. It'll be targeted ads. It'll be campaigning.
How about you want to get a job somewhere? You're very, very qualified. There's a couple other people trying to get this job, and the manager just runs your Facebook pictures through this algorithm. Oh, this guy's a conservative. Can't hire him.
Yeah, I'm going to have to ask you to stand into the camera here and just give a picture. And oh, okay, yeah.
Oof, you hit the right-wing extremist alarm. No good. I mean, if this technology exists just by facial features, what else could they tell by your face? Sexual orientation?
Again, this is very eugenics type of thing. That's what they used to be. Okay, we're going to make a criminal profile of him, and he's going to have a slooping brow. He's going to have a pronounced chin. He's going to, and this is our criminal. And because that's what the parts they would go, okay, if we know this person beat someone to death, so they definitely have bigger eyebrows, pronounced eye line.
A large lower face.
Yeah, a bigger nose. And they would come, put a picture together and like, okay, this is the guy we're looking for.
Jesse Smollett could have said, yeah, they were conservatives for sure. I could tell they had larger lower faces.
Mm-hmm. I used the app right in their face when they yelled, this is MAGA.
Oh, can you imagine having that on your phone? Wow.
Oh, because you would have every Karen in the world would come up there. Hold on a sec. Let me get you.
You're right. They say this algorithm can be applied to millions of people very quickly and very cheaply. And they say it's more of a warning tale about this technology that could exist in your phone. Can imagine that if you had this in your phone, an app with this facial AI recognition stuff. And you are a violent Antifa member. You could just go through the mall, shoot a picture of someone's face, comes up conservative, punch him. Tell me it wouldn't be used like that.
Dating would be really weird. I sit down at the table like, okay, I need you. Click. Oh, yeah, our views aren't going to match up.
Yeah, see you later. Wait, are you crazy at all? A little bit? Let's have sex at least. And then
I mean, the T's are great, but it's just not going to work out.
Heather?
Oh.
How are we prepared today for
Always.
Heather Has Answers?
Absolutely.
Heather Has Answers at gmail.com. HeatherHasAnswers.com. By the way, we're getting ready to introduce a sister program to Heather Has Answers. We'll announce that later this week. Let's hit it.
All right. Dear Shannon Burke Show, I hate being the parent of my parents. They are acting totally entitled lately, so I handled it. I'm not sure if it was right or wrong, so here it is. Judge away. I'm 30 years old, and I live in a two-bedroom apartment. One of those rooms is my room, and the other one is the kitchen main room. Oh, sorry, two-room, not bedroom. Since my parents lost their jobs last year, I offered them to stay in my apartment until they found another job.
Wow.
My parents sleep on the floor of the kitchen slash main room. When my parents and I finish up with the dinner, we socialize for a couple hours and then head off to bed. My parents usually go to sleep around 10:30, 10:45, while I usually stay up until after 12. My dad keeps complaining about how the TV is too loud, even though it's at volume 15. I thought this was rather odd, but I complied with him and turned it down to about volume 5. He still kept complaining, and I kept telling him that it wasn't that loud. Hell, I went over to where they slept, laid down, and couldn't even hear a thing, just the slightest mumbling. His bright idea was to unplug my router and not give it back, even in the morning or after work. I told him, it's my house, I bought that router and the Wi-Fi here, and you have no right to take it from me. He responded back with, I am your father, I control this house, which is obviously not true because I own the damn place. My mom didn't help me out. Hell, she made it worse. She was defending my father and pushing me whenever I tried to take it from him. This had been going on for about 3 days, and I decided to kick them both out. I told them to pack their stuff and go, but both of them said they had full authority over me and that I can't kick them out because I am still their child. So I called the cops on them and got them trespassed from my apartment complex. Over the past couple days, they've been texting me of how selfish I am and how oversensitive I am about everything. Is this true? Am I the asshole? Was there a better way to handle this? Alan in the ATL.
Man, Alan, I feel bad for you, brother. They didn't get into ages, but I'm guessing he's a younger guy, maybe 20.
He said he's 30.
30. He's 30?
Yes.
Wow. And your parents are...
So nice of him to open his apartment.
Yeah, late 50s, early 60s, I would imagine, maybe mid-60s.
Especially that small of an apartment. Your two rooms.
Right.
Yeah, one bathroom, and your dad's there. Ugh. Doing his morning business. And taking his router.
It's just rude.
It's childish.
Yeah.
He did the right thing, and he needs to respond to them. Put yourself, you know, in my shoes. When I lived with you, and I told you you needed to turn the TV down all the time, and I came and stole your router. He doesn't have to worry about them anymore. He packed their stuff and sent them packing. It's going to make for a very odd, awkward Christmas.
Yeah.
And that was where do they stay now? Now you got to feel guilty. They're on the street sleeping in the car.
They're grownups.
True.
They can figure it out.
I know. I'm such a softie.
You're such a softie.
I know.
Jeez.
I am. I'm thinking, I kicked my dad out of the place and, you know, he's sleeping in his vehicle somewhere.
Wait, you did?
No, I said, if I'm putting myself in this guy's shoes, I would feel terrible, but.
I mean, you can't have him sleeping on your kitchen floor also complaining about the TV being too loud. At some point, it's your house, even though it's not even... The guy's living in a studio apartment, basically.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to be like, hey, you guys are the adults. You got to find a job or something.
Yeah, I can get up every morning. All right, you fill out applications today? Let me see. I'm going to see copies of it. Fill out my report. Exactly. Make sure you get out and found some work today.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did the right thing, you know. I mean, I don't know, without knowing all the details, he could have got some Bluetooth headphones for his TV, I guess, or something, but...
It's his apartment. He pays it.
Were they paying him any rent at all?
That's the other thing. I don't know if they're paying anything. It was very easy for him to kick them out.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing no. I mean, after 3 days of them complaining, I don't know if they'd only been there 3 days.
It's clear that they were a guest because, you know, the cops would see them sleeping on the kitchen floor and he has a lease or whatever. He could prove that it's his.
Put guest.
Well, I mean, where else are you going to put him? It's the only place he had. We're going to share your bed with your mom and dad?
When my in-laws used to visit my husband back when we were dating, he would give up his room.
Yeah, it's not happening.
Yeah, no.
And so when, where would he sleep? On the floor or something?
He would sleep in the living room on the couch.
Man.
That's love.
Complaining, you know, you're there as a guest and you're complaining about stuff. And then you say, I'm the boss of this house because I'm your father.
Not even realistic. As a guest, as a person that is completely down on their luck, doesn't have a place to be right now.
No, and doesn't have a job.
Yeah.
You could have behaved a little nicer, Mr. Allen's dad. And mom, by the way.
Yes.
Good for you, buddy. Give us an update on, you know, how holidays go. I'd like to hear it.
All right. Dear Heather, I want my kids and I want my husband's kids. And I don't feel like sharing that with others. Allow me to explain. My smoking hot 33-year-old husband just got asked to be a sperm donor by one of his cousins. His cousin is genetically infertile and he and his wife are wanting kids. I've met his cousin and the wife, and they're great people and would be amazing parents. My husband brought up the topic to me a while back to see my thoughts on it. I didn't give him a straight answer at the moment, but the topic of fertility has been brought up recently because we're also having problems with conceiving. We ourselves have been trying for a kid for about 12 months and are starting to get really anxious that something's wrong with one of us. We are going to get some fertility tests done soon to see if everything's okay. My husband has said that if he is normal, that he would really like to help his cousin, and I feel weird about it. Like, why my husband? There are other family members that his cousin could ask if they aren't, or could ask that aren't married. There's also sperm banks that the cousin and wife can use, and adoption's also an option. I just keep thinking, why my husband? Also, why didn't the cousin and wife talk to both of us instead of just my husband? I just don't know how to feel about the situation. I tried to talk to my husband about the situation a little bit, but he doesn't want to get into it until he knows if he can even produce children. This whole situation is weird, and I'm getting stressed out because I don't even have my own kids yet. If I'm the one that's infertile, it would make me feel horrible that I can't have my own kids. I'm just looking for ways to talk to my husband about how uncomfortable I am with him potentially being a sperm donor. Beck in Fort Walton.
Thank you. Beck? Is it Beck?
Beck.
First of all, there are obvious genetic risks involved here, right? You can't, in most states, you can't have incest. That's considered incest, having sex with your cousin.
It wouldn't be. It's a male cousin.
I think it's a male cousin. Yeah, yeah. I had to read it twice.
Oh, okay, I get it.
So it would be more like a cousin-in-law, so there's no genetic issues to it.
The obvious elephant in the room is that he doesn't have kids of his own yet, and his wife, right. You know, and they've been trying. And he's going to run off and try to impregnate another person, but he doesn't even know that his boys are swimming yet.
True.
And they're going to do it the old-fashioned way at a clinic? the old-fashioned way, like not at a clinic?
Oh, I would assume a clinic. This woman does not sound like she's about to let her husband go sleep with his cousin's wife.
Well, like turkey baster style, you know?
Oh.
Don't they make a kit for that?
What? I don't know.
Yes, they do. We had a story about them selling
that's right.
it.
You. I would have to tell my cousin, look, I'm trying to do the same thing. So let me get mine. You know, let me get my family going, and if it's successful, I'll have a chat with my wife about it. I don't know. Yeah, that's the weird thing. I don't know that unless it was like the woman's good. I bet if the woman had a really good friend that couldn't get pregnant and asked about her husband, she'd probably be happy for him to donate his sperm to her.
Well, because it would be her idea too, then.
Right, but I think the idea of his offspring technically existing in another family and not theirs is
not okay. Sticky,
icky. It's right?
Not okay. It's not okay.
And also it is in their own family too.
Yeah, at all the Thanksgiving and Christmas.
Family reunion,
you're still barren, you got no kids at all, and little Timmy's, four, and he's a genetic specimen, and, you know.
Yeah, you try to go to that Disney family reunion, everybody thinks that's your kid because he looks just like him.
So they need to wait until they have their own family.
Well, yeah, they don't even know. They've been trying to conceive, but have been unable to.
Yeah, for a month, normally people, or not a month, for 12 months. After a year, that's when they normally start fertility treatments.
Of trying for a year?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh.
Yeah, they did that with my sister, and she ended up with twins.
Oh.
Fraternal twins. Cutest bugs in a rug, though. Got any others?
No, that's it for today.
Only two today?
I know.
People are slackers. Come on, you're slacking it. Heather has answers at gmail.com. And we're working on a couple more since we've noticed a large inmate population is enjoying this program.
And we love to let them join in.
We do. And, so far it's been about a guy wanting to fight a lion. A lot about that. And then his cellmate calling him, man, he's serious about fighting this lion. We appreciate it. Look,
Yeah, and now I'm supposed to contact the sister for a thumb drive. So as soon as I'm done here, that's what I'm going to go do.
Don't get involved in some kind of espionage, illegal, what's on this? You don't know what's on. And what are you supposed to do with this thumb drive? What's on the thumb drive?
Apparently, his whole business plan for...
Oh, he's got a business plan.
...for this lion.
How did he smuggle the thumb drive out of the jail?
I think they use computers. They're able to send us emails.
Can you get a thumb drive worth of stuff, information together, and hand it off to somebody?
I don't know how this works.
You carry a thumb drive around with you?
At all times, yeah. But I'm also not in jail, so...
That's true. But, the whole business of thumb drives and being in a prison... It doesn't look good.
Just seems like something they would not want. It would be really easy to, run a gang out of jail if you're just transferring the thumb drive information.
Here's all your instructions on the hit list and where to move the drugs and where to clean the cash and everything else. You suppose the prison looks at the thumb drive before you send it out?
They read all the emails before the inmates get them, before they send them out.
They open the mail, the physical mail.
They look through it all.
Because people like to flatten out the drugs and put them in the greeting cards,
No, you melt it into it.
Melt it?
Yeah, you can melt it into it, brush it onto the card, and then when they get it, they can melt it.
Just lick it?
Yeah,
Lick it and get high? I'm interested to see what's on this thumb drive, though. I want nothing to do with this transportation. Or possession, though. I mean, can't he just email you a file?
I guess it's all on the thumb drive.
All right.
Do you think that's safe to open at work?
I would just be concerned that a guy in prison said, go to my sister and get a thumb drive.
Well, I'm not calling from my cell phone.
And then send me an email once you have the thumb drive that says the eagle has landed.
And then open it up and the password is cookie dough. And,
No, that's not the password. There is a password.
He told you the password?
Yes.
Really? Okay, this is getting too weird.
Yeah.
That's weird. All right, Heather has answers at gmail.com. We do it once a day. When we return, we'll get to your remarks. And if you've ever wondered about what good fortune your white privilege has brought you, I mean in terms of dollars and cents, actual dollar figure, one moment has figured it out. The cash value of your white supremacy. Hang on, it's the Shannon Berg Show. Nope. An author named Tracy McMillan has calculated exactly how much white privilege and racism has benefited her financially. In her new book, The White Bonus, Five Families and the Cash Value of Racism, she claims that being white has created the benefit worth hundreds of thousands of dollars to her. She's derived the number by tracing the amount of money that she's received from her family over years, money she claims that her family was able to save up over generations because of their whiteness. Everybody knows black people cannot have savings accounts. Figuring largely into her financial sum were educational loans that she received from her grandfather, totaling $52,784. She graduated from NYU, where she studied political science. She says her grandfather was able to give her this money because he had been able to accumulate wealth thanks to his whiteness. She argues her grandfather's wealth was rooted in benefits accrued from the GI Bill, a post-World War II piece of legislation that helped military veterans attend school and receive job training. She also claims the GI Bill heavily favored whites. I think it was available for anyone that served.
It was. And her mental gymnastics she's pulling off here are that her grandfather, who went to college after he left the military, found a good job and was successful, was only because of racism and white privilege that he got that.
She received $40,384 as an inheritance from her grandfather. Again, that money was owed to her grandfather's whiteness. $15,086 from her parents, she referred to vaguely as a gift. She fails to elaborate on why this gift from her parents was attributed to their whiteness. She cites avoiding foster care as a consequence of her whiteness, which suggests that anybody who's non-white is instantly put into foster care.
Yep. And there are zero white people in foster care.
Yeah. She puts the value of avoiding foster care at $15,700. Why is there a value for her?
She's very low, too.
Her rent-stabilized apartment saved her without $1,300 due to discrimination that she never faced, given the fact that she's white. Her white privilege, another white privilege, is her job as a tutor. $26,858, more than non-white tutors. She believes that she's been spared $37,488 in credit discrimination when accessing credit. She says, I calculate that $146,000 from my family that probably they had because of racism.
I wonder if poor grandpa knew how much his granddaughter hated him. Because he seems like a pretty nice dude that gave her $50,000 worth of student loans and then gave her a $40,000 inheritance. And apparently the whole time she was upset about it. I thought, this is all white privilege. He's giving me this money.
I mean, does that mean that if anybody worked and you know, contributed to a 401k, that black people can't have 401ks?
Yeah, of course. Honestly, they're always discriminated against.
But you know the K stands for?
Mm-hmm.
Klan. She said, I calculated $225,000 of money I've had access to or equity I've gained, probably because I was white. That's almost $400,000. Asked why she had written the book. She said, I hope that readers who aren't white feel seen too, that somebody out there who is white does see how this is happening.
Doesn't she know, though, that her white privilege was able to write a book about having white privilege, and she's going to make more money off her white privilege now?
She said white people today just don't understand, because this today has been hidden from them by previous generation, that somebody in their family got something because they were white. That's the most absurd claim ever. Black people have jobs. Black people, there are very rich, wealthy black people in America. Very productive, generational wealth families.
Yeah.
How do they do that?
And it's she's weirdly going against her grandfather, who didn't seem like he did anything wrong. One thing, okay, if you found out that your family's wealth became because you ran a plantation in the South, and your family come from a family of slavers, and you made a bunch of money that way, okay, you could feel bad a little bit. Sure, nothing to do with you really, but whatever. That's where the money came from. But poor grandpa here, sounds like he joined the military. He went on and decided, I'm going to go and continue to go to university after I've left the military. Got a GI Bill, went to school, was successful enough there to get a good job that he was able to make a ton of money in his lifetime, and then have enough money to gift his granddaughter an inheritance.
That is not white privilege. That's just upper middle class privilege.
Yeah, and it doesn't say he took out a bunch of loans or anything like that. He got a GI Bill. It sounds like a guy that you probably should be proud of, not the fact that you're really upset and calling him all his white privilege is the only reason that your family has any success.
Unbelievable.
I'm pretty sure I saw her down at the Columbia protest as well. So.
Did you see a picture of her? What does she look like?
You could just, in your mind, think of what she looks like, and that's exactly what she looks like.
Wow. I mean... people don't realize that when they argue white privilege in these terms, usually it's just a vague term. Well, you're a white privileged guy, you know. But when they argue it in this terms, it's unbelievably racist.
Well, just to say, oh, because I wasn't in foster care. If I was hadn't been white, I would have been in foster care.
That doesn't even rooted in rational reality. You know, I mean, yeah, some kids end up in foster care. They think they're lucky stars they weren't aborted. But very few people end up in foster care as compared to the people who end up at home with their parents.
You want to see old Tracy here?
Yeah, let me see. Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, I see it. Good Lord. You know, she's really profiting from, when you think about it, white privilege.
Yes, because she was able to write a book about the white privilege she has, and now she's going to sell that book. I mean, I don't know who's buying it. I don't know if the five people that buy this book to read it are going to really, break the bank for her.
Oh, my Lord. And by the way, if it's only, $375,000?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Almost $400,000, I think, she came up with.
Is she indicating that that's a suitable number for reparations?
Yeah, I mean, I think she should pay this all back.
Right, you're right.
I mean, if she really has a lot of guilt about this, she probably should come up with how she's going to pay $400,000 back to the black community.
She should.
That she stole.
She should. She did. If she was to do the right thing in her mind, if she believes all of this money, all of this financial blessings that she received have all. That's insane that any man that dies with money left over is because he was racist and because of he was white. And then CNN has her on to talk about it. Man, oh, man. Later, if you like the sound of loud cars, you're a psychopath. And a sadist. So, does that mean the guys with the big giant pipe on the back of their Honda? They go, "Wah!" They're psychopaths.
Yeah, probably torture animals.
I don't even know how anybody could. I couldn't ride in that car, you know. With that, imagine what it sounds like inside of those. I mean, I like a car that has a little bit of rumble, you know. An older car has a little, you know. I don't want to. To sound like like some of these idiotic cars that make your ears hurt.
Yeah, that
like,
you could hear down the road, yeah.
Yeah, that's insane. I'm not sure quite why this happened, but Joe Biden visited a black family to play golf, mini golf, in their living room.
Okay, you're going to challenge me?
All right.
There we go.
Oh, he got a hole in one. What is going on? Why is that? He just shows up one night at some black family with some fried chicken. Yeah. And this time he showed up with a some type of putt-putt golf in-home putt-putt golf setup.
This is just a show that
he's a regular guy.
He's a regular guy in the black community. He could show up at any time.
Can I just say that putt-putt golf is the most non-black thing I can. Is the most whitest recreational sport there probably is.
It's just, but it is odd where there he just shows up in like okay in. A,
what do they know he's coming? The president wants to come by later, say hello, and maybe play a little putt-putt golf in your living room. That's all right.
He's going
to
bring you chicken.
please do not let the president bring chicken to my home. Let's get to these remarks from the Florida Man Radio app. Powered by Morris Family Farms, organic meats. Yesterday's show, guys, favorite app. You can text the show, call the show, listen to the feed in the panhandle. And by hitting the little microphone button, you can leave us a brief, pithy message. Here we go.
They need to just pack up all those Hamas-loving Gaza solidarity students onto a couple of airplanes at LaGuardia and take them on over to Gaza. Problem solved. And they can take their tents with them.
Oh, yeah, they're going to need them. Definitely going to need those tents. Oh, I would scoop up all those vegan gluten-free treats as well.
Yeah, might want to stock a few in your pockets.
Yeah, stuff those pockets full of those $12 croissants.
So the school takeovers kind of remind me of that little autonomous zone they had out west called the CHOP. I don't know if that was Portland or Seattle, but, oh, yeah. You know, they had their own ID cards. They had, is that what college campuses are coming to? They're just occupied zones like DMZs?
That's what it looks like. And here, the faculty and staff are arm in arm with them.
The ancient Hebrew word Hamas translates to violence. I wonder if these chuckleheads know what they're cheering for.
They do. They do.
Hey, what's up, Shando? Easy.
Who's this?
Heather, Sparky 352. Oh. Yeah, I kind of have to disagree with Easy. I think it kids should be taught cursive. It was kind of embarrassing yesterday when I was in the DMV and my son had to sign his driver's license. And I literally had to kind of ghost help him with his hands so that it could be, you know, because you can't just print it across the bottom. But, yeah, they should teach cursive. Beedoo, beedoo.
Everybody should sign their name.
Yeah, I didn't say they shouldn't be teaching. I'm just saying they're not being taught it because of those reasons.
Right. Come on.
No, I don't have a towel to throw away with your on it.
From an old intro I played on the Radio IO show.
Hey guys, love the show. This is the Limey Yank from Fort Walton. Do you really think it's because of cursive writing that the IQ is going down? Or is it just that, come on, they've lowered the standard of what it takes to get into colleges anyway. I'm sure that's a huge part of it too. Be-doo, be-doo.
My mom had beautiful cursive writing. I mean, it was, I could never forge her name, ever. I tried, trust me.
Hey, guys. Well, this is good news about the writing helping our brain function. When I was in third grade, our teacher, Mrs. Coker, every day, in addition to whatever homework she assigned, we had to turn in the alphabet in uppercase letters and in lowercase letters. So we did that every day, and I've always attributed that to having pretty legible cursive writing. It's come in handy a lot of times. Be-do-be-do.
Can't they analyze your writing, too, for state of mind, that yes. type of stuff?
Yeah, we don't need to be teaching cursive in school, man. We don't need these kids growing up being able to read the Constitution or anything like that. That'd be terrible.
That's true.
Shannon, Heather, Easy. Great show, you guys. Love everything you guys do. Now, we had guns in the back of our trucks at school back in the day. We never had to have a police officer, metal detectors in our school. And parents have advocated their responsibility in raising children. Their asses should have got beat for all these liberal crap that's being poured into their head. And the school system and school board should be held accountable by the parents and the community for this kind of crap.
My daddy's going to take a .22 rifle to Woodrow Wilson High School in Dallas, Texas, and store it in his locker until a marksmanship class after school. No big deal.
Howdy, guys. Nate Megas from California. Anytime I hear one of those stories about a high school student having a kill list or a hit list, it makes me think of that Billy Madison movie, and he ends up calling one of his old classmates that he used to pick on and stuff like that, and after he gets off the phone, that guy turns over to the side of his wall and he has this big list of people to kill and he crosses his name off. So, yeah, that's what I always think of.
Yeah, pretty sure it was Steve Buscemi.
Yeah, that's right.
I wonder if that facial recognition you're talking about can decipher plastic surgery. Otherwise, Nancy Pelosi probably confused the hell out of that AI.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, everybody. Pap here from Florella. I was listening to y'all talk about an algorithm that you put on your phone or an app that is going to tell people what their personality is like and such as that. That's weird. But if they do that, man, all these woke women folk and woke guys, they're going to die old maids, man. They ain't going to be able to find anybody to marry them. Oh, well, I'm old school. That's the way it goes. Take care of yourselves. Bidoo, bidoo.
Thank you, Pap.
Hey, as far as that dude whose dad unplugged his router and they got all upset because he called the cops on him, listen, they don't respect you, man, and it's further evidence they don't respect you and that your parents suck, that they're still reaching out to you trying to guilt you into, like, you did something wrong. Obviously, they don't understand consequences. You sure these people are your parents?
Tundetana. Crosses fingers, looks at sky, prays, please let it be virtual whoop-ass. Please let it be virtual whoop-ass. Mm-hmm. The world needs whoop-ass has answers. Bida-bida.
Mm. A virtual.
Jeff from Wichita here. About 20 years ago when I worked at the county jail when we were screening the mail for the inmates, not only did we observe the contents of the letter, but we used to cut the postage stamp, the whole corner of the envelope off, because it's been known in the day they would hide hits of blotter acid or other illegal underneath the stamp. So we just cut the stamp off, keep it, check it out, make sure it's valid. And then we'd hand them their mail off, and things were good to go. Good show today, guys. Beater, beater.
Yeah, you can't send your man in jail any nudies or risque photographs or...
Do they take them or...
Are they supposed
to put them back in like an envelope and send them back to you?
I don't know. That's a good question. I doubt it.
So if I have a cash value of being white, when should I expect my check in the mail? Beedoo, beedoo.
You ought to be able to go to the bank and go, I don't have a whole lot to put down on this house. My credit might be a little sketchy, but hello, I'm white.
I can only think of like one of those 3 a.m. infomercial ones, too. Are you white? Have you checked out your cash value lately? Do you need money now?
Call J.G. What is it? J.G.
J.G. Wentworth.
Star Trek guy here. Back to the guy getting stabbed in the neck. That is one thing DeSantis did do right, being able to carry without the carry concealed. So if that ever happened to Star Trek guy, I'm pulling out my phaser. Be-doo, be-doo.
By that lady's logic, all white people, all homeless people should be black or minority.
Because she can't, I'm sure she walks by a white guy and she's like, what have you done wrong?
Right. Look at the guy on the street corner panhandling.
Man, I'm pretty dang white, but I've been very fortunate and blessed with my family and parents, but I ain't never gotten any kind of money like she's talking about. Man, that's some showing off white privilege right there. I guess she probably just feels bad about it, and so now she's got to justify it. You know, I don't know why you can't just be fortunate and be appreciative of it. I don't know.
Hey, maybe we could use that AI and tell if they got white privilege. That woman's a dweeb. Come on, man. She just hates herself so much. It's ridiculous that people keep pushing this thing over and over again. I mean, yeah, slavery was bad and everything, but it's not every white person who had benefited from all that. So, come on, man. They need to just let some of that thing go. Let other people say that then.
Hey, here's the answer for the new Title IX guidelines. Just have the regular girls accuse the transgender woman of sexual assault, and then obviously they're going to expel them from school, no questions asked. And then that dude sitting at the bus stop that got stabbed just for reading a book, well, he was reading Trump's Art of the Deal. What the hell did he expect? Be-doo, be-doo.
Joe Biden, like a typical racist old guy, goes to the black people, and I'm sure he says to them, oh, yeah, golf. Y'all like that Tiger Woods, huh? Black.
Hey, guys, it's Dave in Atlanta, 55-year-old white guy.
probably have about a $10 million net worth. Just wondering, you know, to make things equitable, if I should start paying back some white people who don't have as much, or where that money should go. If you could let me know and start a list, I'd appreciate it.
I think it's any random black person you see. Hey, it's part of my white privilege. I owe you.
Yeah, if you want to forge a cursive signature, what you have to do is put a previous paper against a window with the new paper on top and then trace over it. I used to do that for my captain all the time. Beat a beat.
I just wondering, can that AI, can it look at your face and tell you, he cheated on his wife, he's jerks off a lot, and oh yeah, he needs to take a crap too. Beady beady.
We should start telling some of these liberal college kids that over in Gaza, the Palestinians just started a new chop zone, and that they're taking applicants, and that they're, the Palestinians are really looking to give them a head start on their education.
Get it? Head start?
Jeff in Wichita, follow-up. Any nudie pictures were put in their property bag, and they got them back when they were released from jail and did their time.
Be-do.
Oh, neat. It's like Christmas Day when you get released.
Yeah, all the nudes you're, people sent you while you're in there. Those are the remarks for this hour. We do it again in the final hour. They're powered by Morris Family Farms. Deliver them from the Florida Man Radio app. We getting dark?
It's Tuesday. It's Tinfoil Tuesday. But we're going to go back to the 50s and 60s, where it was the heyday of our visits from the Little Green Men.
Little Green Men?
Yeah, we've missed out, because the 50s, 60s, that kind of atomic age, everybody was doing that, you know, kind of it was hip to be that atomic age type of stuff going on.
Right, right.
And there was aliens all over the place.
Cartoons were emulating little green guys. Yeah. That's next. It's the Shannon Burke Show. San Francisco's $1.7 million public toilet is finally open. And I saw it. I don't get it. It is just like the same toilet you'd see in any park, in any public park, playground area. And I guarantee you they don't cost $1.7. It's a one-holer, too.
There's a new public restroom in San Francisco's Noe Valley. So why are we talking about it? It's worth $1.7 million. You heard that right. It cost the city about $300,000 after two companies donated materials and installation. But still, it's a million-dollar toilet. And it sparked major backlash, even prompting Governor Newsom to pause some state funding. He later released money back into the city after officials promised to build more public restrooms. The project put a spotlight on how difficult and expensive it can be to build in the city.
I mean, it is literally a brick, you know, block square with a metal door. And inside there's a toilet and a sink and a baby changing station. And that's it.
$1.7 million for something that 2 weeks from now is going to have a story about a dude, a homeless guy that OD'd in the bathroom.
Yeah, at least.
Just remember that when it's three times the value of your home because of the fact that
right. I mean, those things are instantly there. They've got a real big problem. Doo-doo on the streets and people doing drugs on the street. And this seems to solve one, but could wildly enhance the other. And you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, it solves both of them. The guy's not doing drugs on the streets anymore. He's doing it in the privacy of a bathroom. Stuff.
Right. That's one bathroom. And if you saw that app that showed the map of where doo-doo was in the... That the line at that bathroom would be six blocks long to take a crap. You need like 20 of them.
Yeah.
Yow. If you think that persistent genital arousal sounds good, don't. This woman, 21 years, has persistent genital arousal disorder, which causes uncontrollable arousal. It's painful. Hard for her to work. She's had a surgery. A lot of medication. She's had some of her genital nerves removed. Her vulva is constantly burning. It was like I was naturally aroused, but I didn't want it. There's no pleasure. I'm hopeful to be able to have a painless sexual relationship sometime in my life. She says it's like burning bugs under her skin, like her genitals are on fire.
That sounds terrible.
Wow. Starting when she was 6. Yikes. PGAD. You don't want it. I started trying to help with vapor rub. Found out that at least if it wasn't treating me, the pain I'd get from it would distract me from the PGAD.
Yeah, when you're rubbing Vicks vapor rub down there to get, not think about anything else, it's bad.
God, this guy's got to burn. Well, she had to tell her doctor finally. Couldn't hide it from her parents or family anymore. Her dad helped her, not with the vapor rub, to get her to a sexual medicine clinic in California. She found other people that are suffering from the same thing and discovered that she wasn't alone.
Boy, that's a weird meetup night.
You're just constantly in pain. You're like, oh. Are you constantly, yeah, me too. Wow.
At least the donuts are good at the meeting, though.
Yeah. Oh, poor girl. All right, let's get dark.
Yes, let's.
Darker than that.
Do that.
It's Disturbing History with EZ. There's a lot of history out there. Some of it isn't in the books.
It's time to take out your large roll of foil that you keep. Hopefully you buy the industrial size.
Yes. I don't buy the crap either. I buy Reynolds.
Like Reynolds wrap? Yeah, absolutely. You can't buy the... You know when it's bad stuff, when you go to do a recipe and it says make sure the shiny side is down, you're going back, you're looking back and forth like, I don't know which side the shiny side of this brand. but the 50s, the 60s, it was the pinnacle of the Little Green Men time period. Everybody was seeing aliens. Not as much. I mean, we see them a lot nowadays, apparently. Last year, they were all like 10-foot tall, gangly monster things.
They were little bitty and green.
Yeah, I mean, I miss seeing those guys. We got to bring those back. But the 50s and 60s was kind of just like the peak of it. I think everybody was seeing Little Green Men everywhere, mainly because it's kind of like that very 60s Buck Rogers, everybody was really into the sci-fi, Star Trek, all that fun stuff. But we'll go through a few of those. And UFO sightings draw out all types of crazies. And one woman in Newtown, New South Wales, she claimed that she was getting letters from space beings and that the aliens were now permanent residents in Australia. Don't think that would surprise you. If you were going to guess anywhere where there might be some aliens at, Australia would probably be a good start.
Yeah.
All the letters were written on parchment and contained a massive gold symbols and drawings, which, as she explained to a skeptical television audience in Sydney, reveal amazing predictions for Australia's future. Mainly, the government will tell you what you can and can't say, and
you'll finally know the truth.
People will be getting stabbed. The woman's neighbor, though, became alarmed when she learned that space aliens were delivering letters to the person next door. So she immediately called up her insurance company to find out what would happen if the spaceship crashed into her home. Very 50s and 60s thing.
Yeah, there is.
Safe Farm, is my house covered under alien ship crash?
That's a natural, that's not a natural disaster. That's it's an aviation accident.
The insurance company she had, though, she must have been paying her monthly bill quite well, and it was satisfactory because the insurance company assured the distressed neighbor that her insurance would indeed cover an alien spaceship crash.
Whew, that's a load off my mind.
She was covered against any damage that might be caused by aerial devices or articles dropped therefrom.
Aerial devices?
Yep. Out in Kentucky, there was a out-of-this-world tale of alien invaders visiting a farm for nobody knows. Apparently, they just wanted to mess with these farmers. It was summer of 1955, and the Sutton family got themselves a little unexpected visit from some space invaders. The family described these invaders as little green men with saucer eyes. And the family was immediately upset by these strange visitors and decided that they were going to defend themselves.
Saucer
eyes.
You
do not come on the Sutton family farm if you are a little green man. Pa Sutton and his immediate family and several other relatives stayed up all night battling said green men, which were about 3 feet tall.
The 3 feet tall?
Mm-hmm.
These are normal-sized humans, I would imagine,
yeah,
right?
Okay. Normal-sized humans taking on a battle against three-foot-tall alien people.
What weapons were they using?
Oh, Pa Sutton's got himself a long rifle and probably a couple other... A
couple of buck knives.
Yeah.
A shovel from the shed.
Sawed off, probably. You know, Suttons do not mess around. The family said the little green men glowed with an inner illumination, and they were all over the farm. There was so much light all over the place that the only way they could spot one is if it stepped into the darkness. Like, it was so illuminated that it was like just like a glowing field of fireflies. The next day, people from town heard the news because the Suttons can't keep their mouths shut and trampled the way to the farm. The police came, but they found no evidence of said space invaders.
Not even a dent in the ground where they landed their ship?
Oh, no. I don't know if you know it. If you shoot little green men, they immediately dissolve. So
I thought they would shoot like some kind of acidic blood.
Well, I mean, that's why they dissolve immediately.
Oh.
But you would think, yeah, they might leave a little spot in the ground where you definitely, that's alien-shaped.
Yeah, like a crop circle deal.
Winter 1969, Diego Machado, he's a 19-year-old peddler, saw a UFO land in the town of Pressanununga, Brazil. The young man approached the ship and four little green men came out of it. He tried to talk to them, but they would have none of it. Instead, one of the greenies pulled out a ray gun and shot the young man.
A ray gun?
Yeah, he got shot by a ray gun.
Damn it.
He collapsed, leg swollen, so apparently it's a leg swelling gun, and the green men got back in the ship and took off.
That's all the ray gun does to you, is make your legs swell up?
Yeah,
just like diabetes?
Yeah, diabetic.
Maybe they gave him diabetes with that gun.
Damn aliens with their diabetes rays.
My ankles are swollen right up.
Dozens of people in town saw the flying saucer, too. They described it as a ball of fire squashed by two plates joined together. Investigators went to the site of the landing and discovered a circular area of crushed grass with three symmetrical indentations apparently made by some form of tripod in the center of the circle.
Oh, all right.
And poor Tiago rolling back and forth on the ground with his legs swollen up.
My legs! Swollen up!
Fall 1968. The little green men gave two young men in New Zealand a run for their money. As the story goes, the young men were out for a drive when a flying saucer started to chase them. It dived at the car over and over again, and the young men panicked and slammed on the gas pedal. Before they knew it, they actually crashed through the window of a fruit shop, just like an old Blues Brothers type of
thing. Damn it.
Always the damn fruit shops are just right there in the way.
The fruit stands would get blown up.
Unavoidable. The men explained their story to the police, and other residents confirmed that they had also seen a strange lighted object in the sky just the other night. The insurance company dealing with the crash accepted said UFO story. So, try this one out. The next time you crash your car, I don't know if you're out partying or whatever the reason is, talk to your insurance adjuster and tell them, hey, we were being chased by a glowing light. We panicked thinking it was UFO,
hit a fruit stand.
And we hit a fruit stand. They actually claimed that they had already accepted stories on other accident claims, so adding space aliens to the list of acceptable excuses with no surprise. So apparently this insurance company also covered fairy accidents, like the mythical creature, the fairy.
Oh, not like a fairy you take from Staten Island to Manhattan?
No, actually like a little mythical fairy.
What damage could a fairy cause?
I don't know. Enough that they accepted the claim. Which, again, I don't know about you. I'm going to go find a mythical State Farm here and be like, yeah, I don't know where the scratch down the side of my car came from. I don't know. Probably Bigfoot. Who knows?
I saw a flash and then a lot of sparkly glitter. I could be a bit of fairy. I don't know.
You can head out and talk to Mr. Peterson. He had an encounter printed in 1954, roughly 4 years after his death. As he recounted to his friends prior to his passing away, Peterson had met a group of aliens one afternoon while walking home. Two flying saucers hovered above him, and one of them landed in front of him. The lid popped open, and out came a very handsome group of men and women.
Really?
That's right. He saw sexy aliens.
Handsome, very handsome people came out?
They pointed a photographic machine, quote, photographic machine, at Peterson and took his photo. When they showed it to him, he was surprised to see the picture was in color. This is 1954.
Oh, my, before color.
You got handsome, sexy people took his photo, and the photo was in color. They also took his book.
Did they have a Polaroid?
They
took the picture, then they didn't have to develop it. There you go, look at that.
That's exactly what it sounds like. Almost weirdly enough, this dude may have been not visited by aliens, but people from the future.
Oh, with a time machine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they also took his book, a fountain pen, a watch, and a wallet, and then they left.
He was pickpocketed. He was robbed. That's what he was. He stuck up. It was, that was a stick-up.
He was robbed by sexy people. These aliens labeled, quote, as outer space visitors were a far cry from the typical little green men that were being reported at the time. So it was a chance that he may have been visited by some people in the future.
Wow.
The dude got robbed by some future rich kids, like time travel.
It went back in time to rob a dude and take his photograph and blow his mind.
Dude, steal his wallet, too. Tell him, beep, boop, we're aliens. Grab what you can. News of a flying saucer landing spread through a little town in West Virginia in 1952. Out of curiosity, a group of six people, led by a 17-year-old young man, decided they were going to go check it out. Up the hill they went, and the young man thought he saw a pair of eyes staring at him from a tree.
No.
The young man flashed his flashlight at the tree and saw a bloody red face and a green body that seemed to glow.
A bloody red face?
Mm-hmm. He let out a scream, fell over backwards. The police were called in and got a good laugh over the young man's scare. They said that the thing he supposedly saw grew from 7 feet to about 11 feet in 24 hours, and then nothing more came from the sighting. So his story changed multiple times. First time, it was a 7-foot monster up there in the tree with a bloody face, and then by the next time, it was 11 foot. It definitely had to be. Look at that tree.
Kept growing and growing.
Like, I'm standing right here next to it. I'm definitely 6'4", and you can see next to this tree, he had to have been 11 feet tall. Yeah, that was the last I saw of it. Nothing else.
And that's in Virginia, West Virginia?
Yeah, West Virginia.
Yeah, that's what they get in West Virginia. They don't. Why do they never land in like a populated city? You know, like a large urban area instead of rural, you know, hick town.
You know where they never land?
Where?
They never land in the hood.
True. Huh. They probably have one of those zip code crime detector deals.
But do you ever hear of the story of like a guy? You don't ever hear of, you know, them down there anywhere in the hood area.
The leprechaun in the tree. Remember that?
Oh, that was great.
The leprechaun went, woo!
I looked up a tree. It was a leprechaun. Spring 1950. The British Air Ministry got a frantic call from a bus conductor like one does.
Oh, yeah.
The man was gazing out his back bedroom window when he made the call. And he said, blimey. There's a flying saucer in the sky with lots of little men with ginger hair inside. That's right. The spaceship was full of gingers. Surely, which is terrifying thought already.
But yeah, a lot different than the handsome, good-looking people that got off.
This dude got handsome people. The other guy gets, pale skin, freckled with red hair. Shortly afterward, the British Air Ministry got a second call. This time a woman reported, it's a boomerang thing a-swaying. There are some black dots at the bottom. When asked if there were little men with ginger hair aboard, she couldn't tell because she had left her glasses in the kitchen. The object was finally identified when a parachute training center called the British Air Ministry reported that one of their parachute jumping balloons had escaped its mooring, so definitely nothing more than just a parachute jumping balloon.
Escaped its moorings?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What, you don't
Full
believe?
Full of gingers?
You don't believe that story that it was tied down properly and yet it escaped and off it flew and the bus driver thought he saw a bunch of gingers in it?
He couldn't tell if they're male or female. They're all gingers.
I just said they all had red hair. With little, oh no, he does say men. Little men with ginger hair. So
that sounds like a bunch of Irishmen.
That thing didn't slip its moor, and a bunch of Irishmen got drunk and stole that sucker.
Yeah, were they drinking?
Did any Jameson fall out of this thing? 1950s. The trend was to head out and photograph flying saucers if you had a chance. It was reported out in Milan in 1952 that a man did manage to capture a flying saucer on a camera. According to the man's story, he and his wife were climbing the Italian Alps when they saw a flying saucer land on a glacier. A human-shaped figure wearing what looked like a diving suit stepped out of the saucer and walked around it as if he was looking at a flat tire. Satisfied, the alien got back onto his ship and zoomed off without a sound.
He ought to just do a quick visual?
Yeah. Maybe he heard a rattling. You know, whenever you're driving, something, you hear something.
Yeah,
you get pull over, check. Like, well, I got a flat, or, you know, am I pulling? Did I run something over and I'm dragging it behind me? So, yeah, they
land on a glacier, kind of do a visual inspection of the ship, outside, walked around, everything looked good, got back in and left.
Yeah. Summer 1954. Two young women were picking berries in Norway, as one does. When a flying saucer landed nearby, and a man came out of the saucer. He was described as having long hair and dark skin, and these Norwegian women swooned.
Mm-hmm.
The alien man
long walked... hair, dark skin, huh?
Oh, yeah. They were losing it right there. The alien man walked up to the women, and they thought he wanted to talk to them. Lucky enough, these Norwegian women were well-versed. They tried speaking to him in English, German, and French. The alien did not understand a word of it, tried to communicate through gestures and drawings. I don't know what, it doesn't say exactly what.
Made sweet love to both of them and got back in his ship. And
weirdly, his one gesture was just he kept putting his finger into his hand and winking, and then apparently they got it. The alien man got back in the flying saucer, took off. The women hemmed and hawed about telling their story. Finally, they told the police in North Central Norway, and the news of the strange visitor hit the newspapers, and they were kind of local celebrities.
Hmm.
1952. You couldn't have an alien story without heading to Florida for at least a little bit. A scoutmaster was driving in his car with three other scouts when they reached the edge of the Everglades. He saw strange lights. The scoutmaster parked the car and went to investigate the lights, leaving the scouts behind the safety of the car. Uh-oh. I don't know about you, but parking near the Everglades at any time at night, you have endangered those children because that scoutmaster probably got eaten. When he reached the lights, he saw a flying saucer shaped like half a rubber ball. It hovered and hissed above the ground right in front of him. His company must not have been wanted because the inhabitants fired a ball of fire at him.
Ball of fire?
Yeah. They said, nay. He floated in slow motion. It floated in slow motion in front of his face, singed the hair on his arms and burned a hole through his scout hat. At that point, the man blacked out. Which, again, you now have a scoutmaster who has left scouts in a car in the middle
he's
of the
night. He's unconscious with a hole in his hat.
With a hole in his hat. When he awoke, he said he had no sense of feeling, and even now I have a tingling sensation.
Did he have the hat to show and to prove for it? To prove it?
Yeah, but this dude sounds like he got drunk around the fire and fell over a little bit. And he just had to explain to them, oh, yeah, definitely a half rubber ball alien shot me.
Your boys are safe, though. I left him in the car. Don't you worry about it. I didn't hardly diddle him or nothing.
I didn't molest them at all. Can't you see with the singe in my hat?
I was too busy fighting UFOs to come close to diddling your sons. Ma'am, I apologize.
They don't ever want to talk about it, though, so.
God.
Oh, those were the days.
I remember reading, seeing a photograph when I was a kid of what was purported to be a flying saucer. It was black and white. It was, you could see it in the sky. You couldn't really tell, perceive what the distance away it was. But you could see a tree in the foreground, you know, parts of it. It was later determined, after it was reported as a UFO, to have been a phony when it was discovered that it was a paper plate.
And you could, if you zoomed in really close, you could still see the label on it.
Yeah, someone thought it was, or see particles of food or something left on it or something like that. That guy ran out of town. Leesburg Bike Fest this Friday. This show will be out there in front of the Blue, what's it called?
Blue Island Sportswear.
Blue Island Sportswear on Main Street. Low Cash is Friday night. Sugar Ray, Saturday night. And Sunday is...
Frankie Ballard.
Frankie Ballard. I keep writing it down, but then they replaced my piece of paper.
Not Frankie Valley.
Yeah. Someone's going to mishear me. And they're like, hey, where's the Frankie Valley show? There are a lot of bikers around here.
That was Heather the first time. She came to me. She's like, really? He's going to be there?
Anyway, come out and say hello. It's a really good time. And I just heard that Lummy from the Bubba Show is going to be doing stage announcements Friday evening.
Nice.
So you might run into Lummy out there if you stay. But come out and hang out with the show. Leesburg Bike Fest, Friday, 2 to 6. All right, when we return, our buddy Jonathan Morris. And a man studied 34 hours of the sounds of orgasms. There's apparently a website. You can go and download yours.
Well, you would upload yours.
I mean, upload yours. Well, maybe download it. I don't know.
Upload, download, upload, download. You got a lot of free time.
3,528 audio recordings from the Orgasm Sound Library Project's website. I'll tell you what he discovered. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
And radio.
Hello, you know him from Between the Ribs fame, Saturdays at 4.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
And, oh, that's right.
And Giant House of Meat.
And on the Shannon Burke Show.
Absolutely.
Every Tuesday, yes, sir. And they can now know me from organicmeats.com or morrisfamilymeats.com.
Whichever. And, when does it go live?
It's live today. It went live today. Well, we tested it Saturday. We got 3 orders, so that was awesome. So if you want to not talk to anybody and just click in morganicmeats.com.
Do you have Morganic Meats?
Yes.
Okay, so that's where it is right now, morganicmeats.com.
Yes. Yep.
And are you ready to rock and roll and go public with it?
We took 3 orders Saturday.
I mean.
The only thing that's weird, and don't let it bother you, if it says the first available pickup is May 11th, we have to change. Somehow that's stuck in the computer, so they're working on that tomorrow. So just don't pay attention to that. We'll ship it out, you know, tomorrow, the next day, or you can come pick it up within two days of your order. But we have the executive box on there. We have the Weekender we built, a little Weekender box. And then we have the variety Farmer's Pick meat box. 3 choices. Very simple.
I'm getting it up right now.
Organicmeats.com. Brought to you by Barn the Door. So thank you, Barn the Door. And thank you to my buddy who helped facilitate all that, because I couldn't have done it without him. So.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Look at that.
So Amy was like, go crazy, let's...
Executive Steak Box is on there. Do you tap that and get more info? I think Executive Steak Box description doesn't have a description on it.
I don't know all the details. Just buy a box. Just buy a box.
The Weekender Box, $99. The Meat Box, $199. Half a cow's on there. Quarter cow. Whole cow. Damn.
Yeah. And we went ahead and launched it. Now they're gonna keep building and adding things. There'll be an a la carte type deal.
Tomahawks
Q will be coming.
Yeah, baby.
So load it up. Amy will send you that link to attach Morris Family Meats too.
And then also I'll just attach the tomahawks to you as well.
Fantastic. I love it. I love
it. Good for you, man.
And that way they have multiple ways to search. It all brings them to us, Morris Family Farms.
So it's there's 6 items on here now, but it's gonna grow to a la carte deal.
Okay. Yeah. Right now that we just wanted to get it going. So if you want to see it grow faster, the more we sell, the faster we'll be able to pump things into it. But at some point, we'll have a deal where you'll have a price range for a box size, and then you can fill that box up with whatever you want. There'll be options to click from.
When they hit the button, contact farmer, what does that go? Is that your cell phone or something?
That's not my deal yet.
Oh.
Yeah. Take it easy. Just buy a box, man.
Just buy a box. Oh, yeah. Started. I got to get an account going. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Just buy a box. And Amy and the guy from Barn the Door saying, if we do it today, during the, you can either put in Shannon Burke. What do you want them to put in? Shannon Burke or Florida Man Radio in the comments? And they get a free specialty pack of burgers.
Shannon Burke.
All right. Put in Shannon Burke in the comments. You get a 5-pack of free steak burgers.
Nice.
Yeah. On your first order.
Wow, that's awesome, dude. Congratulations.
Yes.
A long time coming.
It is. We got to say and change that commercial. Nothing fancy. No websites.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we do.
Now they're fancy with the website.
We got to put this in there in every single, every read, everything. You can order online, Morris Family or MorganicMeats.com or, yeah, MorganicMeats.com.
All right, let's get with the production department after we're done and get this thing going, baby. New commercial is coming.
I'm running things over here now.
Oh, all right. Oh, that's right. I heard. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Running this mother effer.
So we're doing two things at once. Easy, we got a production meeting and a radio show all at the same time. It's like this is like Wednesday night church when the newcomers get to hear a business meeting.
So what's going on, man? What's happening? This is a really great development for your company. It's, you know, I think when this thing gets kicking.
I think this is the biggest thing we got going on right now. We put a lot of work into it. Amy and John and the guys in Tennessee, they've been working hard. You know, getting all this done and finagled everything that goes into doing this. So over the summer when we have extra time, I'm gonna learn this. So it's gonna be dangerous. I may be the guy behind the keyboard one day.
Oh no!
Typing buttons and stuff. You know,
you're gonna get yeah.
So I'll have two fingers.
This stuff is sending out to Cleveland.
Like what? Wait, where are you? Oh, I'm sorry.
So right now, just the family is your family is handling all the orders, and yes. They come in. And do you have the printer set up and all that?
Everything set up. Well, we actually get an email. So on the first three orders that came in, it takes like 2 days for the money to get to the bank, but it's pretty cool. They take care of everything. So you click, you pay right there. We get an email with the order, and you can either pick if you're local, pick up in store, or the shipping address, and it tells you when to expect it to arrive. We get the email, we pull it, pack it, ship it. So everything so far, I mean, we've only done three.
You shipped them?
No, they're all three pickup in stores.
Oh, okay. So but I'm saying you'll be able to print the labels and the postage is all done. And you just, that's so badass. Yes, that's awesome.
It's like tomorrow we're shipping out all the normal old-fashioned monthly meat boxes. They go out tomorrow. So tomorrow will be the last time Amy has to manually put in 27 names, and 27 labels.
I bet she's elated.
Yes, and she's been texting, and her and Elizabeth texted, talking to everybody who's, you know, booked in.
Right, and tell her to get over to the site and sign up there.
I think we're doing it for them. I think we're just, when we print their label tomorrow, Amy's just going to put them into Barn the Door. So then next month, they'll just get an email from Organic Meats saying, hey, your card's being mailed. You know, the box will be shipped on this date.
They got to set up an account on the.
Yeah, they'll have to do that part on their own. Right. But Amy's going to just kind of help, you know, facilitate that switch. So
I like it.
Yeah, we're excited.
High tech.
It's going to be nice.
Where do you have all this tech set up at the shop near the
saw blade? I don't want to sound too simple. Yeah, right underneath the cutting sheets. Got the saw going, the grinder, and then there's the printer.
This printout order.
That's it. As I'm cutting and grinding, I'm watching that printer go. Yes, sir. Now we got a little office in the back, believe it or not. It's been a junk room since we moved in to the building.
Right.
3.5 years ago. So now it's like, all right, we need an office. All right, junk room. You got to go.
It's milestone after milestone.
It's amazing.
Proper office with a chair and a desk.
Yes.
And a printer and a computer.
Dimly lit.
Yeah. Maybe a little pencil box to put your pens and stuff in, a stapler.
Old-fashioned 1972 office with a nice ashtray on the side.
I got the perfect chair for you if you got it.
I don't have a chair, obviously.
This is the best. It's a relic. It's like an old office chair from the late 50s.
I'll take it.
Unbelievably uncomfortable, but it looks awesome. It's Art Deco.
I'll take it.
All right.
I love it.
You got it.
I love it. I'm actually going out next weekend, and they're buying me a laptop. So we had the one for the shop, the name of the Muse, but I don't like it. It's just so small, and the buttons are so close together.
Yeah, those buttons.
You know? So
I think the buttons are the same as on a QWERTY as they are in my lap. Anyway.
I don't know. Long story short.
You got to get a desktop.
Jonathan Morris will have his own computer system by June 1st.
And then?
I'll be chucking away.
Look out.
Yeah, emails are coming, baby.
Yeah, loaded with viruses.
Hey, what are you doing? What are you doing?
He's going to be like the guy when people started getting car phones. I had my cousin Neil got one in his car, and he thought it was all that. It sat in his driveway and ran up an $800 phone bill.
Just calling target. Yeah. Riding around
guess
town.
Guess where? I did it, too, when I got one. I would call me. Guess where I am right now? No, where are you? I'm in my car.
Is that the one that was attached to the car? Yeah, my dad got that on the farm when I was in like 12th grade.
Yeah, it was attached to the hump of the side of the center console.
It looked like an X-ray machine. It was it went from your mouth up to your head. It was a solid plastic piece, right?
Yeah, it looked like a flat black phone receiver with the spiral cord on it. It kind of snapped into place. You pulled it up.
Oh, okay. The first one.
I would just drive around town with it, not on it, just holding it to my ear. Like people see me on the phone.
Yeah, yeah, leaning to the side, all gangster lean.
Hey, what's up? Yeah.
Hey, what up, dog?
Excuse me. Do you mind? I'm on the phone. Thank you.
Big conversations here, guys.
Can you hold it down over there? I'm on the telephone right now.
Do you mind? I'm on a call overseas.
With my people.
Yeah.
My people. It's my lawyer. I'm on the phone with my lawyer.
Oh.
I'll get your tag number. Oh, so we're excited. So just so everybody knows, we're changing all the signs. We're changing the internet. We have to have Tuesdays now to cut and pack and prepare. So we're running two fronts. We're still running the retail store. We're still building the restaurant. But we have to have Tuesdays to cut and pack. So retail hours are Wednesday through Thursday, 11 to 6, Saturday, 9 to 5. We don't have enough staff. The cool thing about barring the door now is once we get rolling, they have a system to get us on a payroll deal where we're like a legitimate, we're LLC, and we got a lot of stuff coming.
Yeah, they'll people clock in and out on the system. And yeah.
So at some point, hopefully by the summer, we'll have a good team. You know, I love the kids. Don't get me wrong, the kids are great. But we need an adult team that comes in. Hey, you're the guy.
Someone with a driver's license.
Yes, you're the only person you're the only person I talk to, and then you talk to everybody else. And these are the orders. You pick them, you pack them, then clean up.
My buddy Jesse wasn't there last time I was there.
Oh, he was in Fort Walton with me.
Oh, you took him with you?
Yes, I did. Yeah.
Mr. Shannonberg. Hey, Mr. Shannonberg.
That's what he calls him, Mr. Shannonberg.
Imagine 92 hours of that.
What does he call you?
Hey, sir, Mr. Sir, Jonathan, Mr. Sir.
He's a very polite guy.
We turned on 10, and Alina's in the back sleeping, hanging out. We turned on 10, and after about the 97th, sir, Mr. Sir, I said, look, buddy, we're past the sir, Mr. Sir. Just say what you want to say. Oh, sorry, sir. See, stop it. I was like, you don't have to say sir, Mr. Sir. Did you see that semi go by? Just say, hey, look at that semi going by. Look, he means well. Listen, he means well.
Of course he does.
He's got a good heart.
He's a good kid.
Yes.
He's a good kid. So yeah. What do you mean by staff-wise?
Well, like, the kids are all in school, so Alyssa's graduating.
He's lost half his workforce, so damn kids had to go back to school.
Terrible, man.
Back to that damn learning again.
Yeah. Education for dummies. Yeah,
you gotta decide what's more important to you, your education or cutting meat.
Yeah. Right. And they all picked education.
Yeah.
Julian's like, Dad, I'm going pro. Can he, like, cut me some slack?
Yeah.
Aurora's like, I got a degree. I'm almost graduated. Alyssa's like, I graduate in 2 weeks. I've already got a job offer in Seminole County.
Nice.
You know? So Annabelle's like, I'm 12. Can I have a day off? I was like, no, you're 12. You got more energy than the rest
Annabelle.
Of us.
Annabelle.
So we're looking to hire. It'll be maybe 2, 3, 4 weeks before we have this set up. But we're going to find somebody, the right person for the job, to come and help lead a team that we train. So I can oversee. We can keep doing the things we got to do on the farm, the shop, the family. And then when the orders come in, they're not waiting on me to get off the tractor to go pack an order.
So if people could go online at any time to put an order in.
Yes.
So will you process those orders every day? Or, you know, like an order, like Skip's Boots, you go there, order their boots, they'll ship them out within 24 hours.
So between Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at noon, the orders will go out either that day or the next morning. We have not figured out yet, unless the customer wants to pay for expedited shipping. Right now with UPS, if you ship Thursday, unless it's like the next day guaranteed delivery, there's a lot of places still that UPS hadn't opened back up after COVID. So if it'll say 2-day guarantee, but it'll go to their depot guaranteed, like my uncle who lives up in Ohio, if I ship him something on Thursday, it'll get to Ohio on Saturday. But there's nobody in the UPS office on Saturday.
Oh, okay.
So it sits there until Monday morning.
Oh,
so
that's not good.
No, so unless they want to pay for overnight shipping, we can't ship on Thursday, Friday right now. Because it'll just sour.
Right, right.
You can't, a lot of people like Matthew Hunt up in Georgia, we had to stop shipping to him because where he's at, we had to ship to him on a Monday morning for him to get it by Thursday. It's just some of the UPS places never open back up.
Some of them are rural, too. You got to go out and pick it up out at
And the UPS people don't send a note saying, hey, your box is here. So by the time the people get the note that their box is at the depot, it's been there for 2 days, and we just can't eat the – we don't have a way to keep it frozen for 4 or 5 days, you know?
Are you going to freeze this stuff before it goes out?
Right now, yes. Everything's going to go out frozen.
Good.
Right. We had one person a couple of weeks ago to ask for it fresh, and they paid for overnight shipping. They got a bunch of porterhouses. And they're like, we don't want them frozen. We want them delivered fresh. And I was like, well, you're going to have to pony up the extra $80 to get it there tomorrow morning. Yeah, $80 UPS to overnight ship.
Well,
into Georgia.
For a bunch of steaks.
But he got eight steaks, I think it was. Something like eight steaks, I think. And then another league wanted something fresh, but he's in Fort Lauderdale, so we were able to just ship it regular. And we packed it on a Wednesday. He got it on Thursday. But right now, yeah, for quality control, everything's frozen, packaged gel packs.
And order early in the week.
Yes.
So you can get it out that week before, without, you know, Monday, Tuesday, or Wednesday. Right.
Yeah. So our cutoff time is 5:30 Wednesday for you to guarantee have it before Friday.
Oh, perfect.
So anything that comes in after Wednesday at 5:30 to the following Monday, you know, we can't do anything until UPS opens back up on Monday.
Does it say that on the website?
I don't know if they've added that yet. Because I brought.
I only get the phone version because I'm looking at my phone. I imagine it looks different on the.
I've only seen it on my phone because I obviously don't own a computer. But I know. Why do you look at me like that? You're like you're disappointed. Like you're my dad. And you're upset.
It is a disappointment. You have a website.
Your dad's got a computer.
Because I didn't rebuild the carburetor right or something. That's the look I just got from you, Eric. Like,
that's the you didn't hold the flashlight right while I was trying to ratchet that one down.
Yeah.
How many of us have got crap from my dad because he washed the car. We were on vacation in Colorado. He had a satellite Sebring Plymouth.
Nice.
And he washed it, and I helped him. And then he said, you can dry it. And I went to dry the car, and I got, I'm
used the white towel to put lint all over it?
No. I used a towel, and I'm just rubbing it like this. He goes, boy, don't you know how to dry a car? I said, Dad, I'm 11, man.
You should have known.
And then he taught me, you go, drag it, put the hood straight down so you don't get
streaked. Yeah, it's like painting the fence, Mr. Miyagi.
I'm 11.
You know, my dad raised me under the pretense of, you should have known what I was thinking.
Yes.
Yeah. But you know what? That's what's different between our generation and the...
Let me look at it on the computer.
All right. Pull it up. But while he's doing that, why don't everybody listening to the show look at it on the computer? Morganicmeats.com. And if you really love us, and you love Shannon, get a free pack, a 5-pack of steak burgers. Filet, ribeye, New York strip, ground up in almost half pound patties, salt, pepper, garlic, onion ready for the grill, the skillet. You get a free pack of burgers with your order. Put in Shannon Burke. And let's sell 100 of them.
Well, that's nice, dude. I like it. Good photos of the...
Amy did all that. My beautiful wife.
She did a great job.
And our
hey, that's a cutting board I gave you.
Yeah.
It's famous. It's beautiful, dude. Looks good. I'm proud.
I'll give you a nickel for everyone we sell with that cutting board in it. Oh, that's what we need. No, those cutting boards were expensive. I said, we can't give away a cutting board yet, but let's get the wheels going. If you want to help support local, keep local. Hey, and you know what? There's a story right now that Colorado Beef just had to recall 500,000 pounds of ground beef.
Oh, how many cows do you think that is?
500,000 pounds?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's probably 7 lots.
What's a lot?
70,000 cows.
70,000 cows?
Yeah. Yeah, a lot.
What happened? I got so
here's the crazy part, right?
Dropped the contact lens in the grinder?
No, I don't know how they got the salmonella into it. Bad handling. It sat out too long. It got hot. Bacteria grew.
Salmonella?
E. coli.
Yeah, I'm
sorry.
Salmonella's a chicken thing.
I'm sorry. My brain ain't working right. E. coli. And here's what's crazy. So they stopped the recall because they said there's no more product out there available for purchase. The meat was packed on March 28th, and in their report to the USDA, they had a lot on hold because it tested positive in the factory. And then they accidentally got into some of it and shipped 500,000 pounds.
What kind of meat are we talking about?
It's all ground.
Chubs of ground meat?
5-pound chubs, 10-pound chubs, home-style rancher pre-made burgers. I've never seen that label. I don't know if that's a northern deal. I haven't never seen that label in the grocery store. Homestyle rancher pre-made burgers. They're 10-pound tubes, 5-pound tubes, and 1-pound packs. It all went out for like institutional grade, multi-purpose uses. And this is the crazy part. One, we're not going to have that problem. So if you want safe meat and good meat and clean meat and have stuff in your freezer, your fridge, hit us up. Because we've changed them. That variety box, we changed it now. It's almost 14 meals instead of just the way we pack it. So it's two chicken breasts, a four-pack of chicken tenders, a dozen chicken wings, 2 1-pound packs of ground beef, 2 ribeyes, 2 pounds of chuck roast cut up, you know, for stew beef.
Right.
A 5-pack of hot dogs, and then 2 3-packs of pork chops.
Wow.
All for $1.99.
That's pretty good. You know who else makes a pre-made frozen burger?
Who's that?
Terry Bradshaw.
Come on, man.
Terry, look at that. See, my buddy Farley sent me this picture. You can get it at the Publix. Terry, it's called Bradshaw Ranch.
Bradshaw Ranch.
Thick and juicy patties. And it's got a picture of old Terry right there. She's grinning from ear to ear.
Not do anything to sell a burger. Did you find that label, Eric?
No.
Oh, I thought you were looking for it.
I didn't find it.
I thought you were typing it in.
Yeah, I was looking. I didn't find it.
But with all the crap going on and all the shenanigans and everything they're doing in big box stores and just, you know, food in general, right. The price of food, I got a lot of stuff we're talking about on Saturday. We were having a little veg out Sunday after church. So they were like, hey, you want to do macaroni and cheese or potato chips? And we're like,
what do you mean veg out?
You know, we're just doing fried chicken and junk food just after church, laying around the house. The more
you call that a veg out?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, what is it?
I don't know.
It's like veg it out.
But you mean you don't have a proper sit down meal? You just make a lot of different stuff and
we find out everybody gets to pick what they want. Unless they wanted Publix fried chicken, somebody else wanted potato chips, somebody else wanted this, and we just get it all, throw it on the table, grab paper plates, and we just hang out.
All right.
We do that every once in a while, you know, as a family.
Yeah.
So they're in there trying to figure out chips. It's Alyssa, Amy, and I in the store. And they had Doritos 2 for $10.
All right. Sounds like a good deal.
We're like, man, that's $5 a bag.
Yeah.
All right. And then they had another one, $4.99, buy 2, get 1 free. Somebody's like, oh, we need to get those. The Doritos were 13-ounce bags. The Lay's were 5-ounce bags, but they have a tall, skinny bag where it looks like the family sauce.
Yeah. Half full.
And I was like, baby, this is inflation. This is Bidenomics.
Shrinkflation.
Look how tall that bag looks. It makes full you think air. It's a 7-Eleven bag of chips for $4.99. So we, you know, just looking at that at the grocery store, and then you go by their meat selections and how everything just it is what it is. Why not invest in a local farmer?
Oh yeah. Why
not, and no matter where you're at, click the button, $199, you can spend that at the grocery store.
Oh,
get nothing.
Not getting a ton of meat like that.
Right.
I wonder what, you know, you're not going to worry about its shrinkflation. You're not going to worry about where it came from. You're not going to worry about E. coli, recalled stuff.
Right. Everything is clean, fresh.
I mean, it's virtually one animal zero at a time. Chance of you ever recalling anything.
Never.
Ever, because you process in small batches.
Yes. And on that, when we freeze something, we sell it frozen. And sometimes we'll have like a big freezer clean out sale and we blow it out of the freezer.
Right.
A lot of this stuff comes from mishandling, where they had a batch come in. They're like, oh, we produced too much, throw it in the freezer. Then they pull it back out to process it. It sweats. It gets hot. Somebody's sick on the line because they don't,
someone scratch their butthole and then touch the meat.
There's a bunch
it
of
happens.
Ways. Yeah. So morganicmeats.com. I am proud to say. Oh, and Magna out of Fort Walton, the people that do our styrofoam. We just sent them our JPEG thing.
For your tomahawks?
They're getting, not just for that, but they're getting us a label, a sticker. So now when it gets to your house, instead of it just being a white box, it's going to have a big old label, Morganic Meats, Your Food, Your Farmer.
Nice.
On the box.
Nice. Yes. I think you need to get a special styrofoam inlay that'll hold at least like 2 tomahawks, you know, put the lid on, and then a cardboard box that'll slide into. I think it's tomahawks to you.
The only problem with that is I've already been up there and I've talked to them. I've been in their factory. That's the cool thing about Magna. That's why I love them. They make everything right there.
Right. You need to do a custom mold.
$300,000 plate. They'll make them for me, but it's $300,000.
Let's look at some other options.
Is your first order.
Before we.
The other option is I can cut 2 inches off the bone and it'll go in the box we already have.
Let me tell you this. I was just about to tell you the ones I got the other day, or the last time I cooked two. I couldn't get the lid shut on my egg, so I literally had. I went to the garage and got a hacksaw.
Okay,
and I took off like 2 inches of each one.
Right,
but doesn't make it look any less impressive. You know, I put the I gave the other bones to the dog. The piece.
Well, I got the idea because your dad came in and ordered some tomahawks, And he's like, hey, I can't do nothing with that long bone. My skill, my pad won't fit him. Can you knock 3 inches off that bone? And I did. I went back to the saw, cut 3 inches off. So we're just going to cut the bone a little shorter.
Right.
So, and we can pack three. We can crisscross them. We can get up to three packed with ice in the boxes we already have. So I don't really want to ship one in that big old styrofoam box. So maybe we'll have a two minimum.
Yeah, you should have a two steak minimum.
Two steak minimum, a three willy winner. Three willy killer. Third time a Hawkins is not that much. More than two.
Nobody's got, I mean, I'm sure a lot of people never had a tomahawk. They hear everybody talk about it. It really is a different steak.
Yes.
I mean, it is very special. You cannot F it up.
There's something to be said about the less you have to do to an animal. Like, don't get me wrong. There's a lot of work there to French that out, right, to make it look pretty.
Sure.
But the meat part, right off of the bone structure, you have the enzyme layer on the back, that white piece that lays there, that white meat, all that still
intact. I love me some enzyme.
All that intact on the bone.
Yep.
And that cooks into the meat, and you get all that just what guy gave you.
Yes.
You know?
Everything that the whole cow worked his whole life for, right there.
Yep. You got it. That's the difference between our farm. We're not necessarily about presentation. Because there was a guy helping me that worked at Publix, and he could not believe what we do to our steaks. Because even the stuff that they get in that they trim, because they're trying to sell to a certain demographic, them things are cut. There's so much waste. Like, I don't even know how they make money. Well, I do know why, because the price they pay for meat. But not just them, other grocery stores, they do away with all that. All right. That good fat, that healthy fat, those ligaments on the bottom, and you know they cut all that off for eye appeal.
Yeah, so it looks good.
Nice, long, lean steak.
Yeah.
You know that's the flavor. You know, so. What do you got?
When we return.
Are you adopting children now?
Adopting children? No, those kids are off to jail. They had a hit list in high school. There is, in Milan, Italy, they're sick and tired of you visiting. No gelato for you after midnight.
What?
They're shutting down. And a dude in Belgium who's so fortunate that his body actually makes its own alcohol. So he's always drunk.
Nice.
It's called Otto Brewery Syndrome.
Does that work in a DUI?
Yes.
It as a matter of fact, for him, yep.
Yeah. We'll do it next. It's the Shannon Burke Show. Morris here from the Morris Family Farms. Organicmeats.com. Go there right now. It's a brand new day for a new day is dawning for the Morris Family Farms. Finally, yes. High tech has entered the organization. Let's put it that way. Not to Jonathan just yet, but
it's coming.
It's coming.
He's in the future.
Yes.
They said it couldn't be done. First, he got a smartphone.
Yes, and I learned how to text.
That's about it. He also, from time to time, posts on his wife's Facebook page. Because he doesn't have one of his own.
Oh.
But now he's got a website that bears his name that he can barely find.
No, you're right.
Because he doesn't have a computer.
I had to get people to find it for me. Hey, look at my website so we can look at it together. Thank you.
It's going to change your life. I really do think.
I believe so.
I really do think that it's going to really rock your world. You know, once it kicks into gear, once people know that they can just go to this website and in a couple of days get two tomahawks, you know.
I'm curious where this contact farmer button goes.
Hit
it sends an email. It sends an email to somebody.
Oh, an email. It's not a phone call.
No, it's an email to somebody.
Then you're definitely not contacting this farmer.
It may be the farmer's wife. Pay extra for that. John, the farmer's wife.
What it should say, if you hit contact farmer, that you hit that button and it pops up a map to the farm. It says he's probably around this area right here.
That would be great. Could you imagine?
Give it a shot.
The contact farmer. It shocks him every time you hit this button.
You got a GPS location of where I'm at on the turn road? You know, and we got a lot to do to add this so far is for the customers that know us and love us and appreciate us. We have a lot to add to explain what's in the box, what you're getting for the value, and And again, this isn't Walmart meat. This ain't dog food meat. You know, this is good quality farm raised.
Right.
You know, we're not worried about locally sourced. It's like it's us and one other farm. We don't work with anybody else.
You know, right. There's no middleman.
Right. It's us and one other guy. And if we don't have it, we don't have it. And if you want to feed your family good, clean stuff, great. And if you don't, you know, there's other places right. online.
But. I know that people are like, well, it's good. It's a little, you know, it's a little more than at the Publix. Well, that's because, A, you know where it came from.
Right.
And literally, the dude who cut that steak, odds are he raised that animal.
That's right.
And yes. and trailered it to processing and you know, trailered it yeah, to
even,
the...
Even the animals I don't raise, I go to the ranch to pick them up, to take them to the place. So I'm involved in every aspect of the growth, you know, and the production of every animal, every product that we sell.
How many cows do you think you have right now on your farm?
I know exactly. I have 18 on our property, and Mr. Jim has 212.
Whoa.
Yeah.
You got any goats out there?
We have 37 goats. On our farm, we have 14 and 7 lambs, and then he has the rest over at Lakeland.
Wow.
Yeah.
How's the goat business treating you?
Come out this Saturday and get a roasted one.
Are you going to cook one on this Saturday?
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah, I'll be there.
Man, I'm actually cooking two.
Yeah, do two, please. It I got there nothing but skin and bones when I got there.
That last time, it went just as fast as willy-nilly. We couldn't cut it. I couldn't cut it fast enough.
Once word got out in Lake Mary, this goat over here, like, goat, what the hell?
The coolest part was the people who swore on everything holy, they don't eat goat. I don't eat goat. Oh, I don't eat goat. Oh, I don't eat goat. So Amy's like, what are you going to do? I was like, I'm going to quit telling them it's goat. I'm just going to say, try it. So people walk up, man, that smells great. What is it? Here, try a piece. Oh, that's fantastic. How you sell it? By the pound? Give me 2 pounds. What is that, by the way?
It's Great Dane.
They're like, what is that, by the way? I'm like, it's a goat. They're like, goat? I was like, yeah. They're like, give me 2 pounds. That was fantastic.
Yeah. It just sounds weird when people say, a goat. Oh, God, that's just got to be whole. Ugh.
Yeah, because they're used to thinking of, like, a goat eating a tin can in the back of a junkyard somewhere.
Right.
How was that skin? That to me, it was better than pork skin. When I gave you that skin.
It's damn fine. Yeah, it's delicious.
Yes, I was just blown away. Everything went right with it.
You know? Seems like most of the goat is red meat, right? It's all just dark, deep, red.
Not a lot of fat.
Oh.
Yes, you got to either cook it in a stew type deal or you got to roast it 5, 6, 7 hours. It's not one of those things. It's not like lamb. So a goat does have chops just like a lamb does. But if you take a goat chop and just throw it in the skillet for 3, 4 minutes, it's like jerky. You can't hardly chew it.
Oh, really?
There's not enough fat in the goat to break down the meat. So you have to cook goat slower and let it break down that way.
Slow cooked goat.
Yes. Yeah, you don't want to just like grill a goat. I'm going to grill a goat for 3 minutes, honey. We're going to be right back.
Yeah. We'll start the fire and barbecue, honey. Be ready with the salad in about 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's really good in a pressure cooker.
Yes. Oh, yes.
It's stew.
Yeah.
I used to go to this place in Atlanta and get goat stew, this Middle Eastern goat stew, which was just awesome.
Right.
Oh, I forget what it was like some, I don't know if it was Turkish or whatever, but I didn't pay much attention. I just ate it. And then bought a gallon of it to go.
I like curry goat, Mexican goat, stew goat.
Cabrito.
Yes.
Cabrito, you got to bury it in the ground, right?
Yeah, but instead of burying it, I just put it on my pit. So I can't dig a hole in the asphalt in the front parking lot.
Yeah, I realize that.
The Venezuelan landlord was frowning on that.
Although, he may be a big fan of Cabrito if he's Venezuelan.
I'm going to get him up here to try it. Maybe he won't mind, though.
Do a trade.
Be like, look, man, well, I promise
cut my rent in half, I'll give you 3 goats a month.
Be like, I promise I'm only going to cook goat in this hole. You know?
Mr. Morris, he did fine. Just cook goat in the hole. That's it.
Yes, yeah. 3 foot goat in the hole.
No rent for you. No. Is that how Venezuelans talk?
That is how they talk today. A man in Belgium, his name is Ans Gerchenkwer.
Nailed it.
Yeah. He has been acquitted of drunk driving charges.
It's ridiculous.
He had a very unfortunate coincidence. That he was pulled over, arrested for drunk driving, told the cop they didn't believe him. His attorney gets three doctors independently examine him to confirm his condition of ABS, which is Otto Brewery syndrome. He's been acquitted, and it is his body produces, it's an intestine-related condition. You present with symptoms consistent with alcohol intoxication, like slurred speech, stumbling, loss of motor functions, dizziness, belching apparently is a part of it. And I'd imagine your breath would have alcohol on it, right? Or it would smell like it.
Yes, your body is producing alcohol. Like any sugars you take, it turns into alcohol. So you are drunk.
That would save me a fortune.
So his diabetes is so bad. He got so much sugar inside that he's just, with his body temperature, he's cooking and making alcohol?
Is it diabetes?
It's not a diabetes. It's just any that you ingest, it immediately turns it into a...
Any sugars
into a alcoholic base.
It says it produces the same type of alcohol found in a drink.
But what's the distilling process for his body?
I don't know, but it does say that they generally feel less of its effects.
Because it's usually, I think, lower intestine where it starts to brew it.
So you're constantly like, about two drinks in a happy hour.
You know? I've heard it's more like almost if you were like you drink all night and then you go to sleep and then you wake up at like 4 a.m. and you got that cotton mouth and you're still a little drunk in there. It's more in that range.
That would be no fun. But can you write that down so the next time someone calls in on Saturday and goes, hey, are you drunk? I'll be like, no, I'm not drunk.
Excuse me.
Oh, my goodness. That's real? Like, is he the only guy that has it?
No. It's a syndrome. I don't know that you...
Because earlier you were talking about itchy crotch syndrome or something. Genitalia crotch something.
That was the perpetual arousal.
Persistent genital arousal disorder.
You're coming up with the weirdest things a man can have, a woman can have today.
This one, I've never heard of this before.
I've seen stories before where somebody, basically the same thing. They got a DUI and they're like, I've never had a drink in my life. I don't know how that's possible. And that's because of the fact that they have this.
So if you took a breathalyzer with this, would you blow hot?
I don't know if it's your breathalyzer would, but your blood alcohol would.
Well, if you got alcohol in your blood, it's in your breath.
Yeah.
Right.
So, wow. Yeah.
Now, is this something related to he drank so much alcohol in his life that he got this condition?
No.
It's like a bacteria. No, actually, you get it late in life. It's not something you're born with. Yeah, usually you get it later in life, and it's something with that gut bacteria gets messed up.
Wow. And you talk about a cheap date. If you go out to a bar, you're like a half a beer, and you're just absolutely toasted.
just give me a couple packets of sugar. I'll be good to go.
Yeah. Oh, some sugar water, please.
Save your money. Wow.
Yeah.
Man alive. I don't think that'd be fun, right? At some point, that'd get old, wouldn't it?
Well, I mean, it's just not very conducive to our work. You know, hey, they brought in donuts today, and you're like, oh, no, I can't. I'll be drunk after.
That means if you wanted to get drunk, you just take like a bite to have a fun-sized Snicker bar, and it's over.
Done.
you're done.
I'm having a bad day. I'm going to eat this whole Snickers.
The people in Milan, Italy are upset. It's a big tourist place there. Late night people. It's a big deal. Go get a pizza. Go get some gelato. Go have some drinks. It's part of Italian culture, really. Not anymore. They've passed a new law there, introducing the city of Milan, stating that at midnight, late night ice creams and pizzas are done. In 12 districts, it bans all takeout food, including pizza and drinks, after midnight to clamp down on noisy groups that crowd on the streets and keep the locals awake at night.
No gelato for you.
Why am I even going to go to Milan if I can't eat gelato at 2 a.m.?
Right. I mean, I don't know you live in Milan. You know it's a tourist city, right? I mean, they have to... outside of the fashion industry, I can't think of anything else that Milan is really known for other than it's... the tourism and the food and the reason people travel there. They said the goal is to seek balance between socializing and entertainment and peace and tranquility of the residents. It would kick in at 12:30 a.m. on weekdays, 1:30 on the weekends and public holidays, applying to outdoor tables only. Oh, so you can't sit outside and have a al fresco pizza.
So we got a beer and wine cut off in America. They got a pizza and gelato cut off.
Yes.
Wow. Well, I think the beer and wine's cut off, too, once you can't get the pizza and gelato.
Yeah, you might as well go home, right?
They tried to do this back in 2013. The mayor tried to implement something similar at the time, but there was said such backlash, they reported an Occupy Gelato movement demonstration.
Wow, Occupy Gelato. I wonder how much money they make in that after-hour nightlife.
Why can't they call it ice cream? You know?
Yeah, why they gotta be different?
It's different.
Is it really that different?
My understanding, yeah, it's different.
I worked for an Italian joint. They made their own gelato. It tasted like ice cream to me. I mean, the flavors are really different, but I don't think the process is probably less homogenized like American ice cream, but it's basically the same process.
Where would you find gelato at?
You can get it in a, you can get, it's labeled gelato in a
hipster, in, any hipster you go to.
Is that at like Jeremiah's Ice Cream?
No.
No, that's ice cream probably. Oh, okay. But you can find a gelato shop, you know? Right. There's probably one on Park Avenue in Winter Park.
Yeah, when I was in St. Augustine, like every place had gelato.
Gelato.
Yeah.
Gelato. I don't eat soft serve. I eat gelato, not soft serve. I'll take two soft serve. I mean,
if you showed the average guy a scoop of vanilla ice cream and a vanilla gelato, would you know that which is which?
I think you might see a little bit.
Is it like that old-fashioned harder ice cream?
Gelato has a lower milk fat content than ice cream, usually 4 to 9%, and yielding a softer, denser texture and smaller ice crystals.
With plus, lower fat?
So it's a little more creamy, smooth aftertaste.
Uh-huh. Not for you after midnight, huh?
No more. You can't have it.
We had the, I forget the name of the lady that was the worst mayor.
Oh, Tiffany Haynard?
Yeah, in some Dalton something, Ohio, or some little town. You know, she gets elected, but before you know it, the city coffers are run dry. Good. She's got a facial, she's had plastic surgery, she's gone on trips, she's got new clothes, new hair. They're investigating her now. This is the worst, Tiffany Haynard is her name. This is the worst sheriff.
All right.
Deputy Rochelle Blau. Currently the deputy sheriff of the city and county of Philadelphia, has been for 4 years recently, been involved in some scandalous stuff, frivolous spending, maintaining a secret slush fund. She lost 76 guns from her department.
Yeah, it's tough to do.
Yeah, that is really
bad.
That
sounds like someone's selling guns on the side.
Here's what I think is even better. She, in order to boost her image, she had 30 fake news stories posted to her website that were positive about her, generated by ChatGPT. And they discovered this after the Philadelphia Inquirer reported that no news outlet could find the stories in their archives. They're like, where did this come from? We haven't seen it anywhere.
Wow.
The stories were written by a consultant using AI chatbot in hopes of overshadowing all the bad press. And that in itself is a scandal.
Right. Isn't that like lying to a police officer? I mean, there's a lot of charges of that.
She lied about herself. She had some
unknown reporter. She tried to have, you know, the fact that 76 guns went missing. She didn't want that on top of Google. So she had to print out a bunch of fake GPT stories of like she saved a cat from a tree.
Right.
Her team maintains the news stories were based on the events that have actually happened. They say our campaign provided the outside consultant talking points, which were then provided to the AI service. It's now clear the artificial intelligence service generated fake news articles to support their initiatives that were part of the AI prompt. Her campaign website titled the series of stories about her "A Record of Accomplishments."
But real quick, 37 guns. Shouldn't she immediately be removed?
No, it's like 73 guns.
Oh, 73. I thought you said 37.
No. 76 guns.
Yeah.
76. Shouldn't she be immediately removed from sheriff's office?
Who's losing the guns?
Like her entire office. But she blamed, it was the guy before her lost all the guns.
How do you lose a gun? We had
that's assigned to deputies.
Right. Well, we had a chief of police here in Orlando who left hers in her car and it was taken.
For like 4 times she lost that gun.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
4 times.
Yikes. She blames the misplaced guns on a previous administration.
She's trying to say that they went and did an audit, and she's like, I don't know where all the guns were. They were already gone when I got here.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. Wow.
City comptroller reported that Bilal's office could not account for 185 guns. That included 76 that were part of the sheriff's office arsenal and 109 that were confiscated from people subject to protection from abuse orders. The undersheriff denied the claims, blaming previous administrators for poor record-keeping and haphazard storage procedures, making it impossible to account for the guns that were not properly logged before she took office.
Wow. So they were sitting around thinking, man, we're never going to go in that armory. We're never going to use them. Let's start selling them. No one will ever know.
Yes.
They're bad on crime up there anyway. Like, they don't care. They don't enforce it. You think they're really going to suit up the SWAT team? All right, guys, let's go down the armory today. We're going to suit up the SWAT team with extra guns.
She said her office is severely underfunded. to the point that she is unable to provide supplies for her deputies, but she spared no expense for their office's new mascot, Deputy Sheriff Mascot. The deputy, as well as her team, have refused to comment. The mascot debuted at the Thanksgiving Day parade, was made by the same costume designer that handcrafted outfits for entertainment such as the Geico Gecko. So she bought a giant mascot suit.
Who wore it? Was it a balloon type deal? Flying in the air?
She, despite claiming the department doesn't have enough money to afford supplies for her deputies, they got two checks totaling $9,250 to Pierre's Mascots and Costumes.
Sweet. It's like Gruff. What is that? Gruff the Crime Dog?
Yeah, it's one of those.
Yeah. Gruff the Crime Dog. We're not looking for 76 guns.
They bought promotional items like Rochelle Bilal trading cards. But the sheriff's has their own trading cards.
Nice.
As well as items like filing cabinets, tasers, and ammo. A couple of years after the audit and 4 years after a top aide identified, one of her aides identified the expenditure as a slush fund, money used for illicit purposes, City Hall has still permitted the spending to proceed.
Wow. And you know what? Well, that sets a standard in society when the people that are doing these crimes at that level don't get arrested, they don't get charged, they don't get taken away from their jobs. How do you expect younger kids not to just think that
it's on the take?
It's cool to just steal and rob and take from your job because, hey, the sheriffs are doing it.
Yeah.
And they're getting caught, and there's no punishment for them. You know, I just don't get it.
Slush fund money was meant for her to abide by her duties as a deputy, auctioning off property, serving warrants, transporting inmates, providing court security. Instead, $40,000 went to companies that supply branded merchandise like backpacks, polo shirts, fidget spinners. $20,000 went to food and catering. $6,600 went to a party at Chickle and Pete's.
What?
You know Chickle and Pete's?
Of course, yeah.
$8,000 went to professional DJs and other entertainment.
Nice. So they're just out living life, having a great old time.
Yeah.
Shooting guns in the air when they're out of bullets, they just throw them in the river.
Some checks, like the $32,000 payment for advertising, made to TML Communications last year, a company it's ran by Bilal's former campaign manager, who now works as the office's paid spokesperson.
Nice. Nothing to see here, folks.
Man, that's the way it always is, right? I'll tell you what, if I'm elected to an office, you guys come to me and go, hey, man, let me get an office job. You know, I can't do it.
You're not supposed to.
I know. Well, that's what happens everywhere. You know, your old buddy gets hired as this. You have a checkbook with some funds that don't necessarily belong to you that you didn't work for.
Right.
You know, and you could just, you can spend it willy-nilly.
Willing them out. Wow. When is somebody going to stand up and do the right thing and have character and get elected to an office like this? I mean, when you think, and I know maybe I'm old-fashioned, but when you think about the deputy sheriff, that's kind of like the highest law, law of the land.
Respected and trusted. And, you know, we've had some amazing sheriffs here in Seminole and Orange County.
Yeah.
And none of them have been shrouded in scandal like this.
No, the sheriff is he's the sheriff. That's
bound only by the Constitution.
What a bunch of crap, man.
Let
Grady Judd get a hold of her.
During the city council budget hearing, she just recently asked for an extra $12.6 million. Or over 40% of the office's current $32.8 million budget. The council commended her for her regular attendance at community events.
Oh.
Hey, look, she may be robbing us blind, but she shows up at everything.
She's always here.
Every ribbon cutting, every meeting, she's there. Fantastic.
Yeah, trying to make her image better for all the bad stuff she's doing.
Well, yeah, start writing your legacy, you know?
Yeah. So ChatGPT does it for you.
ChatGPT.
What's the world coming through, boys?
When we return, Chinese now have public toilets that analyze your urine for medical advice. And right while you're peeing, the screen's right there.
About time.
I don't know. It's a health checking urinal.
It's invasive, ain't it?
And if you want to get a urine screening, a vending machine, $3. You take a whiz in there, it gives you a report. All based on your pee.
Should have left that girl alone last night.
I mean,
90% alcohol.
Also, but they also know that you know, Jonathan Morris peeing one of our urinals. Now we know this and that and XYZ about him because we checked his pee.
Yes.
He's in the pee database. Yeah, pee database.
Right. Don't believe that they're not checking the pee for free. They're not just checking the pee that's been paid for.
It's $3.
You gotta pay for the $3.
No, but think about people like, well, I don't want my pee checked. I'm just gonna
What are they selling your information to urologists all over China? We'll do it next. And your remarks. Stick around. It's the Shannon Burke Show.
Join me at Donald Trump's House of Wings.
Trump, you know our wings will make you happy. Trumpy, you know our wings will fill you up. Trump, if you want a place with lots of chicken wings, yeah. Donald Trump's House of Wings.
Am I saying I'm a chicken wing expert? No. But I can tell you this, the wing is hands down the best part of the chicken. Better than the head, better than the torso, better than the back. And at Donald Trump's House of Wings, you can get them with five different levels of hotness. Regular, hot, three alarm, suicidal, and hell spawn. And if you like celery, congratulations, it's on the house.
You know our wings come with free celery. Jump in, you know these ladies are good for you. Come if you want blue cheese, there'll be another extra. Donald Trump's House of Wings.
Donald Trump's House of Wings is hands down the best wing restaurant in New Jersey. To all you people out there, stop by and enjoy. And to all you chickens, you're fired. I don't like that. Come on, get the dancers back.
Trump, you know our wings will make you happy. Trump in, you know our wings will fill you up. Trump, if you want a place, we offer chicken wings, yeah.
Everyone loved Donald Trump. Everybody.
Before the escalator ride.
Television loved him. You know, NBC. He was just a lovable, great guy.
Was that an SNL skit?
Yep.
Yes, I remember. Yeah. Before the escalator ride, doomed us all. Doomed him all. Doomed him, I guess.
Yep. I mean, isn't it weird that you go from that to the fact that he ran for president as a Republican and he's just, you know.
I think the majority of it was how dare him think he can come from business world and invade our political society.
How dare he think that he can come from outside
of our circle.
And And weirdly, voters felt the same way. How dare he? He's not experienced. He's not like these guys. Nancy Pelosi's been here 70 years. She knows what she's doing.
Right. But yeah, we're dying as a country. Yes.
Yeah, she never ran a business, never signed the front of a payroll check in her life.
Never took any risks. No real checks and balances, even though they're supposed to be checks and balances.
Right.
Yes. I know this could not happen plausibly, but the best thing that we could do is fire everybody and start over.
Well, I think if Trump wins 2024, it's going to be a complete shakedown. Every three-letter agency is going to get wiped clean. All these three-letter bureaucrats.
Could you ever, every senator, every house, everybody's gone, new election, start over, and I don't know, it's deep up there, man.
Yeah.
It's deep.
And even if you fired all the, you know, you cleaned house, you'd still face, you know, long-time senior citizens, stalwarts on both sides, you know, ready to stall anything, right. You know, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I don't know which is better here. Oh, this is probably a good one. This guy, one night of chaos, and this guy now faces 400 years in prison.
What?
One late night crime spree started. He pulled a gun on a Burger King drive-thru after the employee refused payment in the form of methamphetamine. Because like, I don't have any cash. Here's some meth. The guy's like, no, I don't take meth here.
What Burger King was he at that he couldn't get a Whopper with some meth?
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, yeah.
We don't have change for that, sir.
Then he would go on to fire multiple shots, narrowly avoid being shot himself during a series of bizarre confrontations. He was found guilty of 8 counts of attempted first-degree murder with extreme indifference, 4 counts of menacing using a firearm, 2 counts of reckless endangerment, as well as a single counts of legally discharging a firearm, possession of methamphetamine, and harassment. The employee at the Burger King told cops that he believed he was going to get shot and be killed after turning down his offer of a baggie of drugs instead of cash. Instead, Robertson drove away, pulled into a 7-Eleven. Wrote in an email that the DA spokesperson wrote in an email, the baggie dropped by Robertson to 7-Eleven contained 5 grams of meth, resembled the baggie described by the drive-thru worker. Then he entered the 7-Eleven. There seemed to be something off about him. He was talking about God, carrying a Bible with a purple cover on it, got into an argument, drew his handgun, pointed at the head of a store employee, then shot a TV screen that was displaying surveillance camera footage inside the store.
He killed 8 people over
the
night.
No, he attempted to.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Attempted. Right. 15 minutes after the 7-Eleven shooting, less than an hour after they were called out to the Burger King situation, Aurora, California cops were dispatched to yet another call involving the same guy, this time from a woman, reported that her friend Eugene had just shot at her apartment.
Eugene's
by here. He shot at me.
He's on that meth stuff again.
He's on meth.
And he's hungry.
He got out and took apart my transmission and left.
And he's hungry.
The dude, literally, that one night, if guilty on all charges, 400 years in jail, prison.
Okay, but shouldn't a guy like that be off our streets forever?
Yes.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yes. But the thing, says,
you can screw your life up that much in an evening and go to prison for a while.
Just go home and do the meth.
There's nothing.
Yeah, you got to have something to eat every once in a while. Every 5 days, you got to get a burger down.
Yeah, and he wanted that Whopper bad.
I guess.
And who's not going to take meth as a payment?
Apparently that one, he found
the one honest,
righteous Burger King.
The one good church-going kid that just had to have to work that Burger King shift.
You, hey, the Burger King over in Claremont or Groveland, they'll take meth for a Whopper over there.
Really?
Oh, you just look at the employees and tell. They're probably on meth that's making your burger.
I'm sorry, sir. We can't accept your drugs as payment for this divine cheeseburger.
Perhaps
you find the Lord. Pay for your food with money like the rest of us.
Let's get to remarks. From the Florida Man Radio app, powered by Morris Family Farms and Organic Meats, it's archives galore, commercial-free in a podcast form. You can listen to both this feed and the Emerald Coast feed. Call the show, text the show, hit the little button at the bottom. It looks like a microphone, and you can leave us a message. Here we go.
Hey, that fella who called in who's got about $10 million worth, net worth, he's looking for some poor white people to give to. I'm wondering where it is that I can put my telephone number and address. I'd appreciate it. B2B2.
What's up, guys? Ray here. That's funny. Who's passing out privileges? I must have missed that memo. My driver's license says Caucasian. I didn't get anything. But anyway, that cat that had to throw his parents out, I feel for him, brother. I just don't think it's something I could have done, to be honest with you. He's right. They were wrong. They went over the line, but I just don't think I could do it, man. It's too much. Glad you're back. Beetle, beetle.
If your parents are, like, infirmed, you know, and they're sick, you're taking care of them, and they're complaining about the TV being too loud, that's
push
one
their
thing.
Ass into the street.
on a cold night.
Come on, man.
Man, them Suttons sound like they got hold of some real good drugs.
So don't laugh about people believing in fairies. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, Sherlock Holmes author, he actually believed in fairies. He was fooled by a hoax, a very early on Photoshop job. And so he actually published a book and actively researched fairies. So even the best of us can get taken.
Fairies, huh?
Yeah, I think they were called the Glasgow Fairies or something like that. It was two little girls, and they took pictures, and it looked like they had little fairies around them. It was early photography, and yeah, Sir Arthur Conan Doyle
believed it hard.
Yeah, he went hardcore into it, wanted to prove it was true, couldn't handle that it was fake. Yeah.
Chance on the other guy here, the one hung low. I hear you got the meat guy Jonathan in there. I look at his website. I see he need to add like a 3 surprise boxes. And then you order the surprise box. When the surprise box come to house, you open and a blow up doll pop out. Doll, that's a good business. Who do not like blow up doll? Okay, got to go. I'm gonna order surprise box now.
Ton Daytona. Jonathan Morris is Future Man. Congratulations on finally getting the website up, dude. Can't wait. I'm excited. I'm also excited for this month's Meatbox. But you know me, man. I'm going to tell everybody about you guys worse than I do now. Thank you. I hope it helps.
MoreOrganicMeats.com.
Yes, thank you, Todd.
Hey, what's up, Shando? Easy.
Who's this? Heather.
Big man Jonathan Morse, Sparky 352. Hey man, I'm so proud of you, bro. Getting into the new age, putting your website out there. I just texted it to my cousin. Definitely she'll be buying a box, bro. I promise you that. We love them tomahawks, bro. Stay strong, man. Great show, guys. Be-do.
Thank you, Sparky.
If you think the chip inflation's bad, how do you think we feel about the inflation price on your meat? Jeez, man, who can afford any of that stuff?
Jonathan, you want to handle that?
Well, I tell people to weigh it on the back end, sir. You can go to the grocery store and buy $7.99 ground beef, and you eat a half pound because you throw a half pound down the drain because all the stuff they inject it with and put in it. Or you can pay for real meat, the real price, and when you eat it, we're actually cheaper. So
I mean, you're buying
the quality
GMO free, antibiotic free range. It's raised in your backyard.
And when he makes the comment about inflation, we haven't raised our prices in 5 years.
Right.
We ate everything we could eat as long as we could eat it, and now we're moving to the next stage, and it costs money to do it.
Hey, just a shout out to more.
I bet that guy's the AC company he works for charges too much to come and check your compressor out, too.
Yeah, I bet he spends more money on whatever was pumping in the background than he does on food.
Organic Meats. Me and my family went there. We're out of Miami. And just what a great, great family environment in there. He had his family there with him. And the guy you hear on the radio is what you get in real life. And, just quality meat. We got tons of meat, and we carried it back with us, and I just highly recommend them.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
From Miami.
Thank you.
Wow, Jonathan, congratulations on the website. I can't wait to check it out and check out some of your food. I've been wanting to order something forever, and it's always been an issue of how to get it, you know? So I'm really happy for you guys, and I think your business is about to skyrocket. Congratulations. Good work.
Thank you.
B2B2.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
All right.
I still find it pretty odd that you don't believe that over 30,000 people died in Palestine. I mean, it's a population of 5 million people, and Israel dropped over 29,000 bombs. That's pretty obvious. And also, you didn't cover the Alec Baldwin getting confronted at a coffee shop. That was pretty funny.
I do have that audio, but
she curses in it.
She does drop some bombs.
And also, I don't know if you've read, but Palestine admitted that their numbers were wrong.
Right.
They actually didn't count any people. If you went by their numbers where they said 30,000 people died, none of them soldiers, that means that they've not had a casualty yet from the war. It's pretty incredible. They've never had a soldier die during this whole campaign.
Yeah, Hamas has not lost a single fighter.
This guy needs a girlfriend.
Right. And the population of Palestine was 2.2 million, not 5, just to, you know, if you want to be nitpicky about it. In 2015, it was 900,000. So it's grown quite a bit. That's the opposite of genocide.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty much. Wait, I missed one.
Hey, Shannon. I just logged on to Jonathan's website and I got a pop up that said I was the 500th customer and I get a free meat box. Hey, appreciate that, Jonathan. Nah, I'm just kidding. But I am going to get one, though.
Appreciate you, buddy. Thank you.
Put Shannon Burke in the coupon code, and you get a free pack of burgers.
Free five steak
five
burgers.
Delicious steak burgers.
That guy made me angry.
Hey, Shannon T-Bone from Atlanta. Hope y'all are doing well today. To kind of tack on to my little Chick-fil-A story yesterday, turns out that I have been profiled, which automatically makes me a minority, which is great news because I can't wait for all those handouts to start rolling in. So y'all keep on working, man. Daddy needs a new pair of lawnmower blades and overalls. Beedoo, beedoo, guys.
I get profiled all the time. If I'm like going through go to a stadium or something like that, where you have a little security, I always get pulled aside.
Oh, you're the random guy.
For extra security. And I always say, yeah, that's it. Profile the tattoo guy. Yeah, that's it. Ladies, I'm being profiled. I'm not a criminal.
They check for that ankle heater, don't they?
Yes.
Every time. Yep.
Where we go.
Man, Jonathan better be careful with that contact farmer button. What if he's behind that truck sitting on that bucket spitting on his toilet paper? Be careful, buddy.
Well, I got to remember that one, boy.
Okay, super excited that you're going to do another goat. I missed out on the last one, so hopefully I can get there on the weekend. I had a question. Are you bringing the goat milk in to the shop? I can't remember if I saw that before, but I want to make some cheese, and that would be good. Thank you.
You're not...
No, we don't do any milk.
You don't do any... You're not milking. It's a big deal to do milk,
isn't it? It's a real big deal. My buddy Justin up at Horsemeyer Lawn and Garden in Sanford, they do milk because they're a feed store, so it's very easy to have milk not for human consumption. When you come into my place and everything's for human consumption except for two little things of milk, the inspector throws a $5,000 fine on
me. Oh, yeah.
It's just not worth it. Yeah, we do the eating animals, not the milking animals.
Not the drinking animals.
Hey, Shannon, you might be off work in time enough to watch the SpaceX launch. It's supposed to be in about 45 minutes.
6:17 today, I believe.
Jonathan Morris is 100% spot on. Time to clear out the 200-year administration, put back in the first 50-year administration, the way this country was created, hard work, everybody goes home at the end of the business day. You don't go to government to get rich. You go to government to make sure we cannot be beat by nobody.
There you go.
Thank you, sir.
The words Trump is going to clear house at all of these three-letter agencies when he becomes president is a really dumb sentence. First off, those three-letter agencies control everything, and they're not going to let him be president again. And that's the whole problem. He gets into fights with them. If he would work with them instead of fighting, maybe he'd have a chance. No shot.
If he worked with the agencies that spied on him and his campaign, then he'd have a better chance. All right, sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
People with $10 million in net worth don't even tell anybody about it anonymously.
I mean, I would.
Huh?
If I had $10 million, I'd be telling everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, nice to meet you. I got $10 million.
Hello, my name is worth $10 million right there.
You'll break the rule that people with money don't talk about money?
Yeah.
Jonathan, can y'all ship to Louisiana?
Yes, sir.
Denham Springs, specifically?
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Buy a box, put it in the address, and I will ship it out.
If you got an address, they can ship it to you.
The 200-year administration, they told the Tiny Grin Men to steal your juicer. Your wife was a tiny green man.
Oh, my God, that's awesome.
Nice.
Hey, what's up, guys? It's Sparky again. To the douchebag that just open-mic'd in about Jonathan Morris's prices, I challenge you to go to any grocery store and get a cut of meat that tastes as good as his. Open challenge, bro. Be-doo, be-doo.
Thank you, Sparky. I appreciate you, Bubba.
Come on.
Hey, how does Jonathan feel about the future of America farmland? You know, with China buying up farmland and Gates and mysterious poisonings of cattle farms and poultry processing plants being burnt down, and then 15 plus million new mouths to feed. How's the future of, you know, America's farmland?
We're in a rough spot. Actually, tune in this Saturday, 4 to 6. I'm covering that on Between the Ribs right here on Florida Man Radio. I got a lot to talk about it. We're in a bad spot, so tune in and I'll tell you all about it.
Hey, to whoever's complaining about the prices of Jonathan's meats,
You get what you pay for. And you don't have to buy it. It's a free country. That's you true. Can buy it elsewhere. Be-do-be-do.
Thank you, Lucy Goosey.
You could drive a Mercedes or you could drive a, you know.
Right, you get what you pay for. Hey, if you want to shop at Save-A-Lot, go for it.
Or, hold on, my buddy sent me this. These guys are up in Atlanta.
We have fantastic prices, especially when you go for the quality. I don't need to defend myself.
In Canton, Georgia, 20 ribeyes for $40. Yeah, that's right.
Damn. Dehydrated?
Where? In the parking lot of Advance Auto Parts.
Well, they'll change your battery for free. Oh, sweet Jesus.
Get to pick up some, some carburetor cleaner and 20 ribeyes. Yeah.
Quarter inch thick.
Yeah. If Liberal Larry's disputing the numbers and he's on the side of Hamas and believes what they say, that tells you a little more about Liberal Larry and where his mind is at. What a douche.
Yeah, Jonathan, I wish you the best of luck with your website, but are you sure you're ready for that kind of technology? I mean, are you kind of putting the cart before the horse there, bud? Maybe back or down, just stick with a smartphone for a minute? Just asking.
No, that's the way to go.
This is sarcasm. B2B.
Now we're turning it loose, baby.
Hey, Jonathan, I just can't wait to get some of your meat in my mouth. Bye.
Come on, man. Come on, don't be like that.
How long do you think it'll take before Jonathan starts getting pop-ups from TeenSweeties.com? Rest in peace, Bubba.
What does that mean?
It was a fake, phony, made-up porn site that Bubba said. Yeah. I go to TeenSweeties.com. There's no pop-ups on your thing. It's just
we're secure.
Up.
We're a good deal. The company that we're using is a very, I mean, they're legit, man. They're solid.
That's what they do.
Yes, and they only work with farmers, so... You know, well, what does the rest in peace mean? Did he just give me a death sentence?
He was being sarcastic, he said.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Right here it says Palestine, 5.044 million. And then state of Palestine population right here says 5,371,230 people as of 2023. So I don't know.
Well, you didn't dispute the other part. The part that says the Hamas-run Gaza Ministry of Health said on April 6th that it had incomplete data for 11,371 of those Palestine fatalities that they've added to their list. Claims to a documented statistical report, the ministry notes that it considers an individual's record to be incomplete if it's missing any of the data, including actual date of death. The health ministry also released a report on April 3rd that acknowledges the presence of incomplete data but does not define what it meant by incomplete. In the earlier report, the ministry acknowledged the incompleteness of almost 12,000 records. It's unclear why after just 3 days, the number fell to 11,000, a decrease of more than 900 records.
And he's not wrong that there are 5,000 Palestinians. However, 5 million, though, 3,240,000 of the Palestinians in that number, though, live in Jordan, not in the Gaza Strip. The population in the Gaza Strip is 2.2 million.
But wait, you forgot to say, boom, Eric knew your game, already had the website pulled up, and is reading from exactly what you're reading from. That was awesome, Eric.
Also, the health ministry asserted that the information, more than 15,000 of its recorded fatalities, have stemmed from, quote, reliable sources. However, the ministry has not been able to identify said sources, and Gaza has no independent media. So,
wow, dude just got. That was well played, Eric.
Yeah, the population in Gaza, blah, 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 blah. It is, I mean, it's thick there. There's 14,000 people per square mile. There are 5 million plus Palestinians. Not all of them live in Gaza or the West Bank. Most of them live in Jordan. So, sorry.
Hey, Shannon. Love the show. I was checking out Jonathan's website, and on one of those pictures, if you zoom into the right, something looks surprisingly like a hamburger press, so you might want to check that.
You got my hamburger press?
Jonathan Morris got that thick, sultry, just soft and buttery meat.
All right.
Hey, this is Brother Beverly Hills. I got one of your Jonathan Morris organic meat steak boxes, and I gotta say, I cooked one of those steaks in just some butter, man. Man, I wanted to go punch the guy in the butcher shop at Publix right in the face for selling me some fake meat. Man, the richness and flavor in that steak, from just butter.
delicious. Keep doing it.
Thank you, sir. We will.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. Austin from Tampa. Hey, I think those ads are bullcrap about the, get 20 ribeyes for $40. Because I just saw one on Facebook, too, for Tampa in a parking lot in front of some weird store. But I'm not buying some damn meat in front of a...
Yeah, it's bad. Hold on. I'm trying to get through all these.
Organic meats boldly stepping into the future. If today's date was 2014.
Once again, Liberal Larry got his facts wrong. That was how many videos of gay porn he's watched.
Those are the remarks for today's show. We do it twice a day. It's powered by Morris Family Farms, organicmeats.com. Hang on. We'll come back and wrap it up, for you in a second. It's a Shannon Burke show.
On Florida Man Radio.
Well, finally, a United States company has built a flame-throwing robot dog.
What?
You heard me. Flame-throwing robot dog available for purchase online. It's equipped with an arc flamethrower mounted on its back, capable of shooting jets of fire up to 30 feet.
Can I get one?
Yes, you can. The company's called Throw Flame, and the name of the product is the Therminator, the first ever flame-throwing quadruped robot dog available for retail purchase.
Are they legal?
Yes, because you can buy them online. So you want to guess what's going to cost you?
$35,000.
They're cheap. $9,240.
But what do you do with it? Light fires?
Well, I'm going to get to that. The Ohio-based firm Throw Flame, the robot dog is not advertised as a weapon. The manufacturer suggests possible uses include wildlife control, snow and ice removal, and general entertainment.
Yeah, you light bad guys on fire.
$9,240 flame-throwing robot dog.
I'm taking it to the dog park.
I wonder if it'll roast a goat.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for coming, Jonathan. Appreciate it, buddy. More organicmeats.com. Thank you, EZ.
Thank you.
Thank you, Heather.
Thank you.
Thank you to this audience for a great day of radio. We're back tomorrow, 2 Eastern, 1 Central. We follow the Don Miller Show, the rising star in talk radio. He follows Bubba the Love Sponge, kind of going the other way for a lot of it. I'm just kidding. I love the guy. We'll see you tomorrow on the Florida Man Radio Network. I'm Shannon Burke. Have a great night. Just kidding.